much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I don't know. It's just a feeling I've got. Like something's about to happen, but I don't know what.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Moist.
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 You want some free stuff from the radio station?
Yeah, sure.
How about a pair of underwear that says speaking to the mic?
Look at that. Look at that marshmallow roasting right there. That was quite fantastic. Oh, that's a great marshmallow. I need to put some chocolate on that marshmallow. I need to put some graham crackers on that marshmallow. I'm going to shove everything in my mouth. All the marshmallows look old. Oh, yeah, that's good.
And now.
Oh, my God. Look at my life.
Our feature presentation.
Look at your life indeed.
How are you going to start like that, Bean?
That's too much of Mugs masticating, wasn't it?
Between that and the moist, must we?
Not how you want to come back to work today.
No.
Welcome in, kids, to yet another all-new Kevin & Bean Show. This time it's a Tuesday that feels like a Monday, the 5th of September, ladies.
Bean.
Got to tell you, I watched with great interest and concern that Latuna Canyon fire over the weekend.
Oh,
I did
yeah.
not approve at all. I didn't like it.
That's a hard stance to take.
Yeah, it's going out on a limb there, Bean.
I just am not a very big brave. Fan of wildfires raging through L.A. County. That's
yeah.
all. It's just the power of nature so often. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially coming right after Harvey, you just look at how helpless you are. You feel like you've got a house, for instance, that's solid and secure and isn't going anywhere. I mean, it's your home base, and you shouldn't have to worry about that. And then in an instant, something can come along and just take it all away.
Yeah.
It's terrifying. It really is. I mean, there's very, very little that is permanent and safe and secure. But I was amazed at how few homes were lost in thousands of acres being burned.
Yeah, they did amazing work. Those first responders are phenomenal.
Incredible.
This is what they train for. And they're not, I mean, we're not even close to fire season yet.
Yeah.
And we're not looking good for fire season, guys.
And by the way, of course, you know, all eyes were on that fire because it's so local, but there are dozens of fires all over the West right now
mm-hmm.
in every state. I mean, Montana's got them, Washington, Idaho, Oregon, you know, Colorado. I mean, it's the whole West is on fire right now.
Yeah.
It's scary times, man, but you're absolutely right. We couldn't appreciate and give a bigger shout out to the firefighters that worked just relentlessly 24 hours a day, all weekend long, trying to get that thing under containment. So, anyway, we are back to work. It is a Tuesday morning, and we got a big show today. But let me start with I think I got a Beans fun fact for you today, you guys.
That was Beans
fun fact.
I came across an article over the weekend that was such a surprise to me because I knew so little of what was reported in it. This is an article about major companies, international powerhouses that we now know them by a different name than they started at. For instance, Google. Now, hasn't Google always been Google?
I feel like it has.
I thought so, too. The search engine's original name was meant to reference the way it analyzed the Internet's backlinks to understand the importance of relevance of websites, and its first name was Backrub.
Oh, type that into Backrub. That's just gross.
It lasted less than a year, and then in 1997, they changed the name, said maybe not so much with Backrub, and they became Google.
Really?
I have never heard that story before.
Is this The Onion? Where'd you get this info?
No, this is, for real, this comes from mentalfloss.com, which is a very reputable and excellent website.
Okay.
How about this? 1893, we go back to a North Carolina druggist named Caleb Davis Bradham invents a delicious concoction of sugar, water, caramel, lemon oil, nutmeg, cola, nuts, and a few other ingredients. The creation, which he calls Brad's Drink, was an overnight sensation. However, a couple years later, he rebranded it as Pepsi Cola because he believed it was a health drink that helped with indigestion, which was then known as dyspepsia. So he named it Pepsi Cola to market as a health drink.
Yeah, no one wants to drink Brad's drink.
Brad's drink is terrifying, yes. How about this? Phil Knight and Bill Bowerman founded a company in 1964 known as Blue Ribbon Sports. They distributed shoes for a Japanese manufacturer. Then they started making their own shoes in 1971 and decided they were going to change the name. They changed it to Dimension 6. Then, you know what? They said, let's call it Nike after all.
Oh.
So after the Greek goddess of victory, they decided it would be called Nike, but it originally started out as Blue Ribbon Sports.
Huh.
Now, have you ever heard any of these stories before?
Not a one.
Best Buy was originally known as Sound of Music. It was a stereo store that evolved into the electronic store we know and love today as Best Buy, but Sound of Music is what it was called.
Hmm.
Playboy magazine was originally called Stag Party, except right before the first issue went to print, Hugh Hefner received a cease and desist letter from a magazine called Stag, which was another men's publication. So they couldn't use Stag Party, and he decided on Playboy. That's where that name came from. He also considered Top Hat, Bachelor, and Gent. You want a couple more?
Yeah.
The original name of Tinder. Any idea? Ever heard this story?
Mm-mm.
The hookup and dating app was first called Matchbox to play on the many idioms about love and fire, like sparks flying, flames igniting, smoldering looks.
Box, you know what I'm saying?
Co-founder Jonathan Bedeen said he knew the name wasn't quite right, so he went to a thesaurus for inspiration and came up with Tinder. It caught his attention for being a somewhat unusual word, but also because it sounds like tender.
Huh.
And one more Beans fun fact.
Beans.
Fun fact.
The original name of Subway was Pete's Super Submarines. Pete's Super Submarines. In 1965, Fred DeLuca took a $1,000 loan from a family friend to open up a sandwich shop in Bridgeport, Connecticut. They had to shorten the name sometimes to fit on outdoor signs and radio spots. When people heard the name Pete's Submarine over the radio, they thought they heard the words Pizza Marine. As Mr. DeLuca wrote in his autobiography, when customers would show up at the restaurant requesting a seafood pizza, he knew he had to come up with a simpler name, so he changed it to Pete's Subway, and then eventually just Subway, which is how we know it today. So Pete's Super Submarines would not have been quite as catchy.
No.
So anyway, interesting stuff, I thought.
Yeah.
What the hell do I know?
I liked it, Bean. It was real good, Bean.
Thank you, Allie.
Thanks for bringing that to us, Bean.
I appreciate that. Okay. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean, shall we?
Yes, perhaps you could not read my lips. I was saying no.
Well, you're going to say yes when you hear what we have on the program today, because somebody this morning is going to be the grand prize winner of what we've been qualifying you for with the K-Rock Summer Sticker for the last couple of weeks, and that is Green Day coming to your mother effing house, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Beer Mug is going to be out on the street. At the home, we're going to knock on the door live and surprise the winner with the new Honda Civic LX, the $500 Hot Topic gift card, the front row tickets to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl, and the work out the details on that private show Green Day Play in Your Garage. But somebody is going to get that surprise visit this morning from the Mugs. So that alone worth being on the show today. Bachelor in Paradise report, because it is Tuesday. Ralph and Petros break down last night's episode. We have a phone topic today that I think you're going to love slash be enormously frustrated by, because you're going to hear people badmouth some of the greatest movies of all time on the show today. And it's going to be very hard to listen to. But it turns out almost everyone has a film that everyone loves except you.
Yeah.
And Allie, you've just learned not to bring up Napoleon Dynamite in parties, right?
Yeah, because people then start quoting it like, what about this? And Tina, get me some ham or whatever it is. I'm like, still not funny. Not funny.
So it'd be interesting to hear what people have to say. I saw Dave put it up on K-Rock social media yesterday, and I was furious at some of the movies people don't like. Furious.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, if you don't like Love Actually, you don't deserve to live.
Yeah, I saw somebody say Blazing Saddles. I'm like,
again,
murder button.
Really?
Come
murder
on.
Fun.
Come
indeed.
On.
Yeah. Also, is it ever appropriate to be disappointed by your engagement ring? I think this one's for the lady. You can be excited about getting married, but can you be disappointed by the ring, or is that not the point? Is the ring not the point? Is the intention behind the ring the point? That's in the news right now. We'll discuss that. And I understand that a bunch of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show were at Brad Williams' wedding over the weekend. And I'm sure hilarity ensued, so we're going to find out all about that. Plus, Rob's got the showbiz beat when we... The late, great Chris Cornell, Audio Slave on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ for a Tuesday morning. Time for a first look at the showbiz beat. Here's our friend, Ralph Garman.
It is a Tuesday, but it feels like a Monday because everybody's back to work at school. So let's take a look at the weekend box office for the long holiday weekend to see how many people went to the movies. Well, let me answer you that question. Not many. In fact, it was the worst Labor Day weekend at the box office in 17 years.
Yay!
There was no really hit big blockbuster movie at the box office this weekend to take the lead. So Hitman's Bodyguard became number one for the third week in a row, made just $13.4 million, but that was
now,
enough.
Ralph, let me ask you this, because you're the show business savant here. Why wouldn't, as much as they plan out their movie release schedules, why wouldn't one of the studios look at this weekend and go, let's take it, let's claim it, let's make it ours? Why did everybody avoid it?
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Holiday weekend.
I don't know what.
People out there starving to go to a good movie. Give them one.
I don't know. I don't know what to
say. I'm just saying.
I don't know what to tell you, man.
Okay. Thought you might have some insight.
Nope.
Back to you.
Hitman's Bodyguard was number one with $13.4 million. Annabelle Creation was number two. Wind River was third. Leap and Logan Lucky were the top five films. Dunkirk. Then Spider-Man Homecoming, The Emoji Movie, Despicable Me 3, The Nut Job 2, and Nutty by Nature were your top 10 films at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, they're talking sequel. Not sequel, really. Reboot over at Sony Pictures for a classic cult film. It has a lot of fans upset that they're going to remake it. It's called The Crow. Starred Brandon Lee, son of Bruce Lee, back in the day. You may remember that film as being the set on which Brandon Lee was tragically killed in an accident while filming that film. And a lot of people have that film living in their hearts. They love that film. Well, it's going to be made called The Crow Reborn. Is going to be the reboot. And talks of Jason Momoa taking over the role.
Hmm.
So we'll have to wait and see. There's been a lot of attempt to remake this film for years, and looks like maybe finally they're going to get it done. So we'll have to wait and see. Martin Scorsese, of course, it has been announced by Warner Brothers, will be a producer for a movie about the origin of the Joker. Rumor mill worked overtime last week, and they said that a longtime collaborator of Scorsese may step in and play the role of Batman's arch nemesis, Leonardo DiCaprio. To play
Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes, him. To play the Joker in this new film. What's that, Ellie?
Interesting.
Can we turn her mic on? That'd be good, Chip. It's like Kevin's here.
It's like he never left. Yeah. That's interesting. I'm in.
Is it good casting?
I think he'd be brilliant. I question the logic and the wisdom behind making a standalone Joker origin film.
Yeah.
I think that character without the balance of the guy in the cape, I think you're hard-pressed to make a successful film with that.
What about the Riddler?
Right? What about him?
Yeah.
That's what we need to see. The origin.
Thank you.
The guy in the green suit with the question marks all over it. And this sounds like perfect casting. Adele is, of course, one of Allie's favorites, but one of all of our favorites around here. She is wants to get off the road. She doesn't want to have to travel and sing anymore. But what about if she gets to stay home and then just goes and does a little musical over there in the West End?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Sir Cameron McIntosh, legendary theater producer in the UK, has been talking with Adele to star as Nancy in a revival of the musical Oliver, which would be pretty much spot-on casting. She says she wants to do it because she's got a four-year-old. She'd like to stay home and raise him, but also it's something that he would enjoy. It's a family-friendly musical. So, now there's nowhere where this would be a London stage revival, or perhaps even a movie remake. But at the very least, they say it's going to be a stage production, something that she could do. So we'll wait and see. I think she'd be great. She'd be great in that role.
What happened to her moving to L.A. and being my best friend?
Yeah.
It seems like she's very London-centric.
Yeah, well,
again.
You know, that's her home.
I get
in
it,
that sense.
But she was moving out here because she loved L.A. and wanted to be friends with me.
Yeah, I think you scared her.
A little bit.
I think you scared her back to the U.K. So.
Ah, it's a gift.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays, Bob Newhart, the legendary Bob Newhart, is 88 years old today. How great is Bob Newhart?
He's the best.
One of the best. I thought of him as I saw over the weekend that a contemporary of his, Shelley Berman, very talented comedian, passed away at the age of 92. You may remember him as Larry David's dad in Curb Your Enthusiasm. Yeah. But he's
so funny.
He used to do a lot of the same types of routines that Bob Newhart did, those one-sided phone conversations on stage. Very funny. But Bob Newhart lives, and Shelley Berman is dead, so Bob Newhart wins, I think.
I think so, yeah.
In terms of that rivalry.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton, speaking of Batman, he's 66.
It's a good-looking 66.
Love Michael Keaton. So good. And the bitch Rose McGowan is 44 years old.
How dare you.
She's a bitch. We all
know. Your co-star from Charmed.
I don't think I was there during the Rose McGowan years.
Oh, okay. Mm-mm. Gotcha.
No, I was there.
On purpose.
The original three. Yeah, I left the show once she joined. I would not work with her.
You're just on the one episode, Ralph.
I'm in two episodes.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you. Folks, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce, in a one-night-only benefit for the Animal Rights Fund, the Cranberries. Yep, I took that role with me, and I said, I'm not playing the guy who introduces the Cranberries anymore.
And
if
you
hire her.
Did you take that to other TV shows?
I did. I played the guy who introduced the Cranberries on Frasier for many episodes, and also for a long time, also in Rescue 911.
Oh.
With William Shatner. I used to stand behind him and just introduce the Cranberries.
It's weird they had the Cranberries.
It wasn't
great
chemistry.
Yeah.
They had to rewrite that whole sequence.
Wow, you got to check it out.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Another day, another outstanding opportunity for you to do something fun, courtesy of the world-famous K-Rock. This time it's Fall Out Boy in the HD radio sound space here at K-Rock. You can listen to K-Rock all week, including the Kevin and Bean Show, every morning until Thursday for passes to see the band in the sound space. By the way, Stryker is going to be hosting that, and I think, Dave, is it 5 o'clock when people want to, if they want to watch it or listen to the stream?
Yeah, they air it at 5, yes.
5 o'clock this Thursday, Fall Out Boy back here at K-Rock. I'm actually glad you're in here, Dave, because I know you're a huge sports fan. And this weekend for Southern California sports fans was unbelievable trying to keep up with all the amazing things that were happening one right after another. By the way, I was in Las Vegas. I went to Las Vegas to see the Chief this weekend. And all the talk there was UNLV collapsing to Howard University, the second biggest point spread in college football history.
Oh, wow.
I think the point spread was 44 or something like that.
And they lost?
And they lost. Yes.
I don't even think Howard's a division, FBS football team, right?
I don't think they are either. But that was all the talk when I was in Las Vegas over the weekend. You just can imagine they just went, you know how they are about the about UNLV there. They just went bananas. But let's talk about college football here, too. And then we need some sort of intervention with Muggs. And some sort of protection for his mom because Dodgers fans are coming after her for what she did to their team. But let's start with UCLA because this was...
Oh, man.
This was... Well, Dave, you watched the game. What about this
Well,
kid?
I watched half a game.
Oh, no. You did a Mama Muggs?
Well, listen, I'm not a UCLA fan, but I knew it was football on, so I watched about a quarter of it. And it was the second quarter when Texas A&M was just running
hammering them.
I'm like... You know, play after play, just gaining yards, touchdown. I was like, yeah, this is sad, so I'm going to turn it off.
And it was well out of hand when you turned it off. Like, at that point, there was no way UCLA was coming back.
Yeah, it was right at halftime. I said, all right, I'm good. You know, UCLA, not a good start. All right, we'll hear about it tomorrow. You know, I heard the Fire Mora chants in the crowd, you know.
And by the way, Josh Rosen, who is a controversial figure anyway, did nobody any favorites with the kissy face that he made coming out of the tunnel. There were so many people on social media who were like, oh, he just looks like such a douche.
A lot of Josh Rosen hate on my timeline.
Yes.
That quickly turned a couple hours later.
But poor kid, man. He was getting crushed.
Yeah.
So then, you know, I turn it back. I was watching a movie or something, and I turn it back, and they are winning. And it was like a fourth down that A&M didn't make, and then the call was made, and UCLA won the game. And I see Josh Rosen had an amazing turnaround and an amazing game, record highs and passing yards, touchdowns, everything.
And he pulled a Marino, too. I think we've got the call of the fake spike he did for the touchdown that tied the game, and then the extra point won it.
Rosen fakes the spike in the end zone, touchdown! Whoa!
And
when my Twitter lit up with the Rosen one. And
yes, the Rosen one is hilarious. Scrolled through to see all the things that people were writing about Josh Rosen early in the game, because he was the one, remember, the player who had that controversial statement about how hard it was to balance schoolwork and football. And everybody was writing things like, well, I guess he didn't have enough time to work on football this week. Looks like I hope he's prepared for class more than he is for this game. And they just were just blasting him. That was an amazing game, and congratulations to Josh Rosen. All right, so Crosstown, USC. I understand that there are things that are bigger than football.
If you're going to poo-poo on this.
You're not down on this,
no.
Are you?
Not everybody has to do everything. I know I'm a bad man, and it was a
asshole.
Okay, yes. I agree. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just saying we don't need to put blind guys in to play football. We don't. It was nice for the kid and whatnot.
And for everyone watching that has a heart and a soul.
Yeah, I get. I mean, look, I'm happy for Jake Olson. I am. Do we have the call on that?
We don't have that call.
We don't have that. Yeah. So he's a long snapper, and he has been close with the program, and he adores USC, and he has played some spring games, and they wanted to put him in a game, and the game was USC was far enough ahead that they weren't going to lose it. They didn't put him in at a critical, we have to make this kind of thing, but he performed beautifully. I mean, he did every bit as good a job at his job as he would have a sighted
person.
Well,
I mean, the snap was a little behind, but you know. We'll forgive him for that.
You both are from hell.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm wrong.
But wasn't it cool that the other coach was in on it and told his
team like stay back?
Yeah, they could have crushed them.
But that's also you're not playing football at that point.
But they were
going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll allow it. I'm not saying it. I don't love it. All right. Now, Muggs, let's deal with you and your freaking mom. What was the question you asked Allie off the air? Is Beer Mug's mom what?
I said, is she a jinx or is she a prophet?
Yes.
I mean, there's really no way to tell at this point.
She has come on our show and most recently, about 2 weeks ago, came on and said they peaked too early. They're going to do nothing but fall apart as we head to the end of the season. I'm worried about them in the postseason. Remember, they had the best, or still have maybe the best record or close to the best record in baseball, but they have lost 9 out of 10 games, I believe, since Beer Mug's mom was on the air. 9 out of 10. I mean, that's Mariners level play, you guys. And this is from a team that hadn't lost a series all year until last week. All right, so what's going on, Muggs? What's your mom saying?
My mom is clearly clairvoyant. She said they peaked too early, and this is it. This is where it all falls apart. Now, I'm always in disagreement with her, but I think this is not a bad thing for the Dodgers.
No,
I think everybody needs to just calm down.
Yeah, stop with the knee jerk.
Right,
because, calm down.
I mean, what better place in the season to start slumping than now?
Agreed. So they can ramp it right back up.
Right.
When the games don't matter. Right.
So, yes. Right.
Agreed.
Your mom has nothing to do with the September call ups and playing rookies and any of that. So your mom's just saying that
she's off the hook.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's not her. She's not a jinx.
The Diamondbacks really, though, have the Dodgers' number more than anybody. How many times have they beat them in the last week? Like 5 times or something in the last week?
They swept the last series in Arizona.
Yeah.
They took game one. But overall, I believe the series with the last sweep, they're up 2 games in the season series.
Well, here's what I'm going to say about the Dodgers. Losing 13-0 never feels good. And that's what happened yesterday. And J.D. Martinez had not one, not two, not even three, but 4 home runs for Arizona. Check it out.
And there it goes. J.D. Martinez, his 31st. Martinez hits it high in the air. Deep right field. And that one is gone. Fly ball. Right field. There it goes. J.D. Martinez. That's his 3rd home run in 3 at-bats. J.D. Martinez! Is it 4? It's gone! J.D. Martinez homers in 4 consecutive plate appearances.
I mean, so, he's juicing, right?
Something's going on. It sounds like we're listening in on batting practice, doesn't it? Like, what's the deal here? And I assume that was from multiple pitchers if they're down 13-0, right?
Yeah, it was multiple pitchers.
So just nobody could figure out J.D. Martinez yesterday. So, all right, so we've decided not to panic.
No.
Mm-mm.
We're going to be fine.
They're fine.
Heading through September. Okay. Yeah. Great weekend to be a sports fan, you guys. That's all I'm saying. I'm excited, Allie. We get to talk about Taylor Swift here.
Oh, dear.
Her Look What You Made Me Do song is number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart this week. The highest first-week streaming and sales for any song in 2017. Now, I know you're thinking you don't care.
Well, that's number one. Number two, you have to stream her song to be able to get those boosts to get the tickets.
Well, I'm sure that's part of it, but sure. it seems like she's popular, and that's why when I see a story like the one on TMZ.com this morning about her being booed out in public, I have concerns. So let's find out what's going on. Our friend Van Lathan joins us in the newsroom at TMZ.com. Van, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. How are you guys doing today, man?
We're fine. It's good to have you. Why are they booing Tay-Tay? What's going on?
Oh, with Tay-Tay.
Her fans were none too pleased with her. She, this past Saturday, was at a wedding. She was leaving a wedding in Martha's Vineyard. Very, very, very fancy there for you, Taylor. And the video starts with, I guess, the vantage point of the fans. They're waiting for Taylor to leave. And they're coming out. The excitement is palpable. They're going to get to see Tay-Tay Swift in all of her glory, and then they're going to get to love on her and really scream for her. And then you see the security start putting up some black sheets, and it seems as if she's going to walk behind the sheets, and the fans start to show their displeasure. They start to boo. They start to implore the security, saying, Taylor loves her fans. Don't do this. And then they start to say, they start trying to chant, we love you, Taylor, but then that gets drowned out by, once again, how upset they are. They start booing and saying, very disappointing, not cool.
Now, Van, let me ask you about this. And I know this wedding was a big deal for Taylor Swift fans for a number of reasons. First of all, it's Taylor's best friend, Abigail, that, you know, crazy Taylor Swift fans have been following Abigail for 20 years.
They know her very well.
They know her and love her, right. But Taylor has been not making any personal appearances. I mean, even during the whole time of that trial in Colorado, there wasn't a single picture of her going to or leaving the courthouse or any. I mean, she has been underground, right? So people were excited about the opportunity to see her. Now, I understand all that. But just because you're a celebrity, is it right to expect you to be paraded in front of the public like you're a zoo animal?
Here's the deal. There are two different ways to look at this. The one way is, yo, Taylor Swift fans make her. It wouldn't have taken any effort for her to walk down there and say, hey, guys, 5 seconds, 10 minutes, you're out. Whatever. The other part of it is the part that you just named. I'm not the biggest Taylor Swift fan in the world. I got to be on record saying that. So when I saw this at first, I was like, yeah, boo her. But the fact of the matter is, she is a person. She's a human being. And if she decides she wants to go to the wedding, go in, walk out, I just don't see how we could begrudge her that, man. It doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me.
And it's not her day. It's her best friend's day.
Exactly.
That would be taking away from her best friend. Listen, I don't stand by Taylor Swift for much, but you don't owe those fans anything. You're at a wedding for your best friend. Those teenagers need to calm the hell down.
It took this for me to get on the side of Taylor Swift.
I'm with you,
right. In this one right here.
I am with
so
you.
So both of you are willing to give her a pass on this one. Fair enough. Now let's move on to something that's very concerning. Lil Wayne has had a lot of health problems over the years, and he legitimately has epilepsy, right? I mean, he's diagnosed with
absolutely,
that, right?
Absolutely, 1,000%, yeah.
All right, and so what happened this weekend? He did a couple of shows, looked great, seemed healthy, and then what went wrong?
Did a couple of shows, looked amazing, same old Lil Wayne. As a matter of fact, at one of the shows, after it was over, he came out for an encore, so his energy was definitely very, very high. But he was found unconscious in his hotel room at the Westin in Chicago on Sunday. He had had a seizure. He was admitted to the hospital. He was discharged that afternoon, seemingly so he could make it to a show that he had in Vegas, a show that ended up being canceled. Lil Wayne, people are playing it very, very close to the vest as far as his health is concerned. But once again, like you said, you know, it's troubling. The doctors felt it was too risky for him to perform, so he's not going to be performing. The last thing that we've officially had from the camp is his daughter, Rajanne, who says that he's doing fine, that he's doing okay. But we know that over the past, he's really been kind of in serious, critical situations over this, and you wonder kind of what's happening with it now.
Yeah, I don't know anything about epilepsy. Are there things that you're either supposed to do to not have seizures or not do to have seizures? I mean, what kind of health advice do they give to somebody with his condition?
Well, listen, I'm not a doctor, but we do know is that there has been some talk in the past that maybe a little bit of the lean that Wayne drinks was sort of a culprit in this. And we have seen them this year with the double cups. That's not to say that we know exactly what's in them.
Right.
But hopefully you'd hope that if that was a contributing factor to this, that Wayne would lay off it a little bit.
Yeah, stay off the Sizzurp. Exactly right.
Exactly right.
Van is laughing because I just said Sizzurp to him.
You just said Sizzurp, dog. You took it all the way back to 3-6 Mafia with that one.
Right? All right. I'm going to show myself out. Don't miss Van and the whole TMZ crew on Fox throughout the day on Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4 p.m. TMZ Sports, Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Always fun to catch up with you, sir. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show. Imagine Dragons on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, not right now, but coming up later this morning, we're going to give away some tickets to this Ohana Festival, which is a three-day festival going on at the Doheny State Beach, including Social D and Eddie Vedder and the Pixies and TV on the Radio and more. Tickets on sale now. We'll have those to give away maybe next hour here on the Kevin DeBean Show. All right, Allie, we got to talk about engagement rings.
Okay.
This lady posted on social media on August the 18th. She's from Sydney, Australia, and she tweeted a photo of her hand with a ring on it. You think it's her hand? Somebody else's hand.
It's someone else's hand.
She's mocking somebody else.
Yes.
Right? So she posts a photo of the engagement ring, and it's not a huge stone. It's smallish. And here's what she wrote. Imagine finally being proposed to, and this is the ring you're given. And people immediately just blasted her. She got tremendous blowback from people who thought, you, lady, are missing the point. It is not about the jewelry. It's about what it represents, which is, for God's sakes, a man or a woman loves you so much that he or she is proposing and wants to spend the rest of her life with you. And you're focused on the hardware. What's wrong with you? And a lot of people have had this debate now, which is, hey, you know, is it okay to look at your ring and be happy that you're getting married, but also be a little disappointed if it doesn't match, if it's not anywhere in the arena of maybe the ring you've always dreamed about? And now, before we take some calls at 1-800-520-1067, especially, let's make this one, I think we should make this one ladies only. I think I'm really only interested in what the ladies have to think about this, about your reaction to your ring. Is it okay to be disappointed in the ring? I wanted to hear from you, Allie, because you have a lot of thoughts on a lot of things. What about this lady, first of all? What's going on with her, this lady from Australia?
Well, if it is indeed her ring, which it turns out it wasn't, that would be so extremely emasculating and ridiculous to post something like that on the internet. She's wrong. It's horrible. It's awful.
Like, that would be crushing to her new fiancé to
Absolutely.
Find out that she was blasting the ring that he bought for her on social media. It would
Absolutely.
Be very embarrassing. Okay.
And I think if you are with someone, you probably are having conversations about what kind of ring you like. Do you like the cut of the ring? Do you like this? It's a conversation most people have had. But I will say this. Private disappointment happens. Absolutely happens. I have friends that have said, oh, yeah, we're going to upgrade this in a few years once he has, you know, more money. But of course, they're grateful. They love it. But inside, you're like, ooh, not what I really wanted. And if you say you don't know people like that, you're a liar.
Really?
Absolutely.
So I wonder what percentage of people, I mean, I know there's a wide variety of responses, but are most women disappointed with the ring?
No, because I don't think so. No.
You don't think so? Okay.
No, I think most people, like I said, are having that conversation with their boyfriend, with their loved one, with their girlfriend, what kind of ring they want. And I think most people want to make their loved one happy and they'll get as close to that as possible. Maybe
right.
they don't have the money at that time and say, we'll upgrade, you know, 10 years down the line.
Australia lady who made the original post stands by it, even though she's gotten so much blowback. She says, look, if that's all someone can genuinely afford, that it's not right to reject it because you love the person.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can afford better, then it's not bad to expect more. It's a declaration of their love, and they're supposed to get the best ring they can for the person they want to spend their life with. So it sounds like she definitely has an idea, and I don't know, maybe she has bought into that advertising campaign that a ring should cost you 2 months' salary. By the way, that was just random that something that a diamond company came up
right.
with. And people just went with it. People went, yeah, that sounds about right. So I guess she's one of those people who feels that, you know, hey, I'm worth it. You should be spending as much money as you possibly can on this ring, it sounds like.
Yeah. I think a lot of people will tell you, private disappointment versus, oh my God, thank you so much, exists. It does.
All right. Let's take a couple calls from the lead, shall we? 1-800-520-1067. As always on the Kevin and Bean Show, you can text if you've got thoughts on this too. Let's start with Danielle. She's in Northridge. She's up first on line four. Hey, Danielle, appreciate you listening so early this morning.
Someone's still talking to her.
Oh, all right. All right. Now what? Let's get her now.
Oh.
Sorry about that, Danielle. How are you, my dear?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. It looks like you've got some engagement ring experience. Tell me about it.
So my now husband bought me an engagement ring, and it was literally the opposite of everything I've ever wanted.
Oh, no.
like everything is outside. I work with my hands, so everything is really raised, and I wanted everything to be really embedded. So I told him that I gained weight, and I can't wear the ring, so now I just wear my wedding ring.
Oh, and he hasn't thought, oh, we should get it resized?
No, because I told him that if you resize it, it'll ruin the ring.
Oh, my God, Danielle, you have an answer for everything.
You really do. You're crafty.
Because it's so thick and big and, like...
Oh.
Go on.
It's like a really wide ring, and, like, everything is really raised, and there are a lot of really sharp edges on it, mm-hmm. and I'm just like, thanks for this, and I keep it on display.
Well, you are very sweet to keep up the facade and not hurt his feelings. I think that's very nice. But like one more thing, though. Allie was saying that she thinks that most people that are in a situation where they realize they're headed toward engagement will have a conversation about what kinds of rings they like. That never came up with your man?
Well, I did actually tell him which ring I wanted, and he kind of got not that.
Okay, all right. Fair enough, Danielle.
Not that.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it so much. Let's go to Brittany Montclair, line one. Hey, Brittany, you're up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. What say you?
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
I was just calling because I definitely agree that as long as your partner provides a ring for you that shows basically that they're dedicated to loving you for the rest of your life, that you should have no expectation of size or price or anything like that. My boyfriend and I actually just had this conversation about a day or so ago where he asked me specifically, do you have any expectations in terms of a ring or do you like any certain stones or anything? And I was like, no, just whatever you get me, I'm going to love it because I just want to marry you.
Wow. I mean, I don't know. That sounds like a healthy attitude, but you don't, I mean, don't women, I always hear stories and I don't know anything about girls, obviously. You guys know me. They talk about the engagement. They talk about how he proposed, and that's a big deal. Don't they also want to show off a ring and kind of impress their friends? No?
Yeah, I do. But I think just showing the fact that I have an engagement ring to somebody that I love, like, I would bring that and I'd be like, oh, my gosh, look, I got proposed to you. Look at my ring. And, like, I don't care if they think it's big. It just, for me, it's special because finally I get to say that I'm going to marry, you know, the person I love.
Gotcha. Fair enough, yeah. Brittany. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it so much. Let's do one more. Let's make it Arlen El Sereno, line three. Hey, Arlen, we're going to give you the final word on this. What do you think?
I think that women...
I'm sorry about the F word, too. I think, though, it's the most important piece of jewelry that a woman will probably have in her life. And it represents so much that I think they want it to be... Look, this is just me yapping. Allie, please jump in if I'm not making any sense. But I think a lot of women want it to be as beautiful as it is, as it feels important to them.
If you're wearing it every day... I don't want to look down at something that's gross, but... Hmm. Arlen, let me ask you a question. What's your ring like?
I don't have one. My husband never proposed with a ring. He didn't have the money at that time, and I was okay with that. We were struggling.
Didn't matter.
So to me, the fact that he married me and showed up and signed the paperwork, I mean... We should just be grateful that you found someone who wants to be with you for what is to be the rest of your life.
Or 2 to 4 years, based on most people in Southern California. I think that's a wonderful sentiment, and I'm glad that you found a man who feels that way and you feel that way back to him. That's awesome. I'm glad you're happy. Thanks for calling in, Arlen. We appreciate it. His beer mug on the road, did he take off already, Rob?
He's, I think, on location.
He's already there.
Yeah.
This is a very exciting day. As you know, we've been qualifying you for the last couple of weeks with this brand new KROQ Summer sticker, just in time for Labor Day. And today's the grand prize drawing. Muggs is going to show up. We're not just going to call you. He's going to show up at your house and award you the new Honda Civic LX, the $500 Hot Topic gift card, the front row seats to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl, and to announce that Green Day is going to be playing your garage. So we're going to find out where he is in the Southland coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on KROQ. It could be you. So why don't you stick around and wait for him. All right, 6:52, Rob's here with the Showbiz Beat now for Tuesday. What's going on?
That's a wash, by the way.
Well, what do you mean?
You win all that stuff, but beer mug comes to your house. You're just breaking even, really. As great as those prizes are, once he shows up, everything's tainted.
Yeah. Everything you'll never get that out of the carpet, that's for sure.
Right? It's the taint.
Yeah. It's hard to get taint out of the carpet.
It's the taint of mugs.
Yeah. Taint Wars.
It was the last Harry Potter book, if I'm not mistaken. Was it?
Yeah. Oh.
Top 10 movies at the box office. We take a look at the long 4-day weekend. Not a spectacular weekend at the box office. In fact, the worst Labor Day weekend at the box office in 17 years. Not a lot of new movies out, so a lot of old movies got a little extra money in their coffers. Like Hitman's Bodyguard for the third week in a row is number one. $13.4 million. Annabelle Creation came in at number two, then Wind River, Leap, and Logan Lucky. Dunkirk came in at number six. Spider-Man Homecoming, The Emoji Movie, Despicable Me 3, and The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature, was the 10th film at the box office.
How is The Emoji Movie still drawing anybody in?
Children.
Wasn't it awful?
Yes.
Okay.
But children? Children and Kevin have poor taste in movies.
I heard this morning, Ralph, and this won't be any surprise to you, that that part of the reason this was one of the worst box office summers in history is because there's so much great programming on Netflix and on Amazon and on YouTube now that the audience that used to flock to the movies now, they're spending their time with their devices. They're watching everything but going to the big screen. And Hollywood does not really have an answer for that.
There's a lot of movies that made a lot of money this year, though.
Yeah, there were some, but, I mean, overall, it was a very low box office summer.
Sad news over the weekend. Steely Dan co-founder, bass player, guitarist Walter Becker passed away on Sunday. He had died at the age of 67. No cause of death has been revealed yet, but he had been struggling with health issues for some time. If you're not familiar with Steely Dan, they were a monster hit machine in the 70s and early 80s. And then they took some time apart as Walter Becker had some issues with substance abuse and some physical difficulties, then got back together again in 2000 for a couple more studio albums, which they won a ton of Grammys. They were a legendary band. Co-founder Donald Fagen said he will continue with their music as long as possible to continue to play their songs live with the band on the road. But Walter Becker passed away. If you're not familiar with Steely Dan's music, here's a quick little montage of just a few of their hits that made the band legendary. Like everything they put out for a while went to top 10.
Can't Buy a Thrill is an amazing album.
All
one of my
music.
Favorites.
They're super talented musicians, yeah. And really great. If you're not familiar with their music, you should give them a listen. And you should give them a listen and give Taylor Swift less listens.
Okay.
Because she's awful. She released a new track over the weekend from her new album, Reputation. Just dead. Taylor Swift is dead.
Well, she can't come to the phone right now, Rob.
Now she's back with a Reputation with her Ed Hardy font. What's it do with that font on that album, by the
it
way?
It is a bit Ed Hardy.
Well, 1990s,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't she miss the boat a little bit on that one?
Well, she
a little affliction?
She was dead.
Oh, that's right. I forgot she was dead. Ready for It? Question mark is the new song, and boy, is it awful. Here's a little taste.
Catch me and you'll never be alone. I'm island free. Feel like dumb love. No one has to know. No one has to know. In the middle of the night, in my dreams.
for it.
It's as if she said, what can I do to make myself sound exactly like every song being played on Kiss FM right now?
My question, I don't listen to a lot of Taylor Swift, but is this being a departure for her?
Very much so.
Okay.
Yeah,
so she's trying new stuff.
Yeah, yes, she is. Here's my whole thing, and I love Taylor Swift.
What?
What? You should have told us that. Why didn't you share that information?
Very close to the vest with that.
I don't think she pulls off sexy. I think it sounds inauthentic for her. This persona is not ringing 100% true to me. I'm not saying
because
she doesn't feel it.
Fake. Maybe because she's a fake and a fraud.
She's not a fake. It's just she's not as convincing doing the sexy stuff. The sexy stuff as she is doing the heartfelt stuff, doing the love stuff. I think
she's all about love.
She's all about love. I think she feels a lot, and she is extremely expressive as a songwriter in writing about those. And that's what made us all fall in love with Taylor Swift.
These songs sound like something done by a Disney Channel graduate?
I don't know.
Like every Demi Lovato song and every Fergie song and every Katy Perry song. It's like the same as every song on Kiss FM.
I mean, I think it's very contemporary in her production. It is definitely different from what she has normally done. I'm surprised.
You're the Kellyanne Conway of Taylor Swift fans.
I'm not heaping compliments on it. I'm telling you.
Came out when I laughed.
I'm a little bit surprised.
Bean will take everything and spin it. Well, it's not perhaps the whole over with the catalog. And I think perhaps if you look all at the time at when she's doing this.
I'm not raving about it here, Ralph. I'm telling you, I don't think it's as convincing as some of her other material. That's all. I'm eager to hear the rest of the album, though, for sure.
I've heard she's a farter and a racist.
That's what I heard, Jim. Man. Finally, someone's telling the truth. A farter and a racist. Today's celebrity birthday is Rose McGowan's 44 years old today. Michael Keaton, I'm Batman, 66 years old. Bob Newhart's 88 years old. And George Lazenby is 78 years old. You know who George Lazenby was, Ellie? Does that name sound familiar to you, George Lazenby?
Did he invent the lazy boy?
You're absolutely right. He invented the lazy boy.
Did he really?
No.
Oh.
He was,
Lazenby, like lazy boy.
He was the actor that took over for Sean Connery as James Bond in the James Bond series.
But after
back
that.
In the day. No, he didn't invent a chair after that. No. He was a one-off. He only did one James Bond movie.
Because he got all that money from the chair.
Nope, because he was an idiot and he quit the series. Oh. He thought he was better than that.
Mm.
Turns out not the case.
No?
Not at all.
Okay.
Lazy boy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to go out to the streets with Beer Mug in about 10 minutes or so and find out who won that grand prize of the K-Rock Summer Sticker, including Green Day coming to your house. So stand by. Beer Mug could be walking up the driveway here anytime. And the Bachelorette Report this hour, too, with Petros and Ralph breaking down last night's episode. Excuse me, Bachelor in Paradise. All right, Allie, you've been following the Pepe the Frog controversy?
I thought it was over. I thought we got rid of Pepe.
Yeah, I did too, because the artist who created Pepe the Frog, Matt Fury, he killed him off, right? Last year he came out and just said, Pepe is dead. No more Pepe. So how do I make a synopsis of this in a few seconds? Pepe the Frog was a character in a book that Matt Fury created a few years ago. And he was just a mellow frog who loved pizza and sat around smoking weed and just hung out and did fun things like you do, right? Well, somehow, completely unbeknownst to Matt Fury, the man who created it, he had nothing to do with it. Somehow, Pepe the Frog got adopted by what's called the alt-right. And then it even went way past that, and he started being, represented in white supremacist literature, and there were all sorts of memes all over Reddit, and then spreading throughout the internet of Pepe the Frog, hanging out with Hitler. I mean, it just really got awful.
It was a strange journey for Pepe, for sure.
It was. And this poor guy, he's like, hey, he just loves pizza. That's all. He just sits around and smokes weed and farts. I mean, he's supposed to be fun.
When you're happy little stoner frog is now declared a hate symbol by the Anti-Defamation League. Something went very wrong.
Completely not his fault at all. Got out of control. So yeah, so like I said, he killed off Pepe and we thought that was going to be the end of it. Well, Pepe is back in the news right now because this assistant principal, where is he? What state's he in? Is he in Texas?
I felt like it was in Texas. Yeah.
It's got to be Texas, right? He's in Texas. He has written a new book where he has ripped off Pepe the Frog. He has basically just drawn a frog that looks exactly like Pepe and has made no attempt to hide it because the frog's name is Pepe. So this Pepe and his centipede friend Pede, they do lots of bad racist things in the book. And Matt Fury, the creator of the original Pepe the Frog, said, hey, you can't do that. It's copyright infringement. So he sued and won. But what's going on in this school employee's mind that he thinks he can get away with something like this?
Yeah, assistant principal in Dallas.
Yeah, legally, how do you get away with just ripping off somebody's character, especially one as well-known as Pepe the Frog? And then how do you think that's going to play with the school board when they find... Well, let's find out about the book. Let's find out what happened in the book, because we do have the school teacher who and assistant middle school principal who wrote this new Pepe and Pete book. Eric Hauser joins us on the phone on the Kevin DeBeat Show right now. Hey, Eric, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we're fine. Now, you did not get fired. You just got reassigned in the district, I understand,
yes,
right?
Yes, the cowards who worked there reassigned me. Took me out of the school that I was working in because apparently they don't like the First Amendment.
Well, I mean, I think it's copyright infringement for starters.
Oh,
and,
is it?
Yes.
Are you a judge of copyrights?
I'm not, but there are other...
Justice? Are you Justice Eric von Copyright?
No, I'm not, but
are
Pepe...
you, Bean?
I'm not. But Pepe the Frog was a character that already existed. You can't
first
just...
First of all, there are a lot of frogs in the world, are there not?
That is actually true.
There are many frogs on the planet Earth.
Yes. Yes,
okay.
There are.
There are many people named Pepe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What are the odds, perhaps, that there's another frog on the planet called Pepe?
Oh, this wasn't the same Pepe.
No, this was a different frog named Pepe.
Okay, well...
I resist the idea that there could only be one frog with the name Pepe on the planet. I know a lot of guys named Steve...
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a good point.
I might make a book called, hey, here comes Steve. Steve can't come along and say, oh, you owe me money. That's my copyright. I said, no, there's a different Steve.
But what about giving it to the artist and saying, I want the frog to look like this frog, and it was a picture of Pepe?
How different do frogs look to you, lady? Most frogs look like me.
Well, they are green, and they do have very similar faces.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. So that was only part one of the problem, is copyright infringement. Part two of the problem is it's not a great lesson for kids to see Pepe and his centipede sidekick taking down a bearded alligator called Alka, who looks like Allah. It seems like it's very much an anti-Muslim story. You're talking about draining the swamp. You're talking about defeating Alka and his mud-covered minions. And a lot of people thought, maybe this isn't a great message to send to the middle school children.
A lot of ISIS people thought that, I bet, But a lot of Americans think it's a good idea.
Okay.
And I will not be silenced. I have many more books where that one came from.
Well, you don't need to write more books, Eric. I don't think that's what
I have written them, and they're coming out, and they will teach children in these United States of America's all the things that they need to know to be good Americans.
All right. Well, as long as you...
original ideas of mine that have come from nowhere else.
Okay.
Mr. Lawyer Judge, so don't be saying that I can't be putting these books out.
All right, well, I'm eager to hear what else you've come up with. Hope you've learned some lessons about after what happened with Pepe and Pete.
It's a series of books. The first one's called The Day the Crayons Quit, because the box refused to unionize because it believes in free trade America first.
That doesn't sound like a fun book for the children, Eric.
Good for them, teaching things about making the capitalist country that we live in. God bless it.
You're not worried about those crayons accidentally resembling a rainbow-colored flag, though, are you?
No, I'm not afraid at all, because I control those things.
Okay, all right, fine.
Here's the one you can read to kids tonight. Mm-hmm. Good night, Mooch.
Well, that's just good night, Moon,
no,
but with Mooch.
No, it's not good night, Mooch!
Oh, Mooch?
Yeah, good night, Mooch. The story of a stuffed animal that did not do its job and lost its job in 10 days.
That just sounds like Scaramooch.
Green eggs and ham they serve at Trump Tower Restaurant are the best!
Okay, again, there's already a popular children's book called Green Eggs and Ham. You can't just rip off the idea.
Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad New York Times!
I'm sure the kids will love that.
My new book, Harry Potter and the Great Roger Stone. That's a good one. He's the best.
Oh, dear.
Willy Wonka and the MAGA Hat Factory. He gets rid of all those Oompa Loompas, deports them. They're here illegally.
Oompa Loompas?
Yes! Where are the wild things march with tiki torches?
No, Eric. Uh-uh.
Charlotte's web neutrality legislation is part of a left-wing socialist agenda!
That's quite a title. You've written a lot of books, man.
The Cat in the Hood.
Oh, yeah, again, no, not for the kids.
The hood he wears, not like the neighborhood he lives in.
Oh.
Right, yeah.
How about Alice in Wonderland?
Awful.
By the way, I meant to mention this all morning long. Allie, we had so much fun on Cover Songs Friday.
It was great.
On Friday. And yeah. The response was tremendous, and we thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts, everybody who made suggestions and helped us put together. I hope we can get a chance to do another one. We could do a whole nother show with all new songs. It would be just as good. There were so many we didn't have time to play. But if you heard it and you loved it, and we've had so many people making the request, hey, where can I find the playlist of what you played on Friday? We did put it up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, so definitely check it out there. All right, I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit nervous, not the least of which reasons is that we have the beer mug factor in play here, but we are going to do the grand prize drawing right now for the summer sticker campaign. We have been sending you, as you know, all month long to pick up your K-Rock summer sticker from Hot Topic locations. And we had you fill out the back and go to the website, and you know you can win an incredible cavalcade of prizes if your name is drawn. Right now, we're going to find out whose name is drawn. Let's go to Beer Mug out on the street somewhere in Southern California and see if we can narrow down where our winner lives. Hey, Muggs, how are you, man?
What up, you guys? This is fantastic. We're going to make somebody's dreams come true right now.
I mean, you really are. I can't even imagine. This is like winning the lottery, you know, because this is just an unbelievable collection of prizes, and they have no idea it's coming. We did not give them any kind of tip-off that you were going to be out on the street coming to their location. Can you narrow it down where in Southern California you are, approximately?
We are just off the 10 freeway, right by Cal State LA, just around that area.
Okay. Now, what are we looking at in location there? Are we looking at a house, looking at an apartment complex, condo? What do we got?
We got a very nice house. It's a two-story, three-bedroom, two-bath. It's got a nice railing on the balcony. It's a nice pad.
Garage looks pretty big, like a band can play in it.
I think the garage looks like a venue, actually.
What?
I'm looking at.
Wow.
Yeah.
This guy or gal is going to be set up for the show then. How many bathrooms? I'm thinking about putting an offer in on the place, Muggs.
Sounds nice.
Like I said, it's two baths. It's got a master bedroom, a master study. It's a nice place.
What would you would say it appraised at?
I think it's going high 500s, maybe.
Is it an open concept kitchen?
You know, I haven't seen the kitchen yet. Okay. I got to get the specs on that.
All right.
Okay. All right. So we're going to follow you then on the phone as you approach the residence and knock on the door, ring the doorbell, whatever they got, and let's meet our winner, shall we?
All right. So, yeah, I'm rolling up. I'm in the 2017 green Honda Civic LX. It is very green. I'm driving up to the residence as we speak.
All right.
And I'm also wearing one of those green suits. You know those, like, the green screen suits you see?
Oh, but sure,
I'm
yeah.
So, yeah, I'm so fat and I can't fit in it, so I'm only wearing, like, half of it. My head's not covered.
Well, we sent the right guy for this job. So you're telling me we're going to tell them about Green Day coming back to play their garage, give them their concert tickets and their Hot Topic gift card, but you're actually driving their brand-new car. They're going to get that right away.
I just pulled up to their house right now. And getting to the stairs, I have my bullhorn.
All right. Okay. It's very exciting.
Hello, is, hold on, let me see if my, hello, is Alex home? Is Alex, I need to talk to Alex, please. Does Alex live here?
Oh, dear. Did you double check?
Rubio, we're looking for you.
Oh, Alex Rubio, now we know that, now we know the name.
Oh, oh, that's good. Alex went to go drop his sister off at school. This is going good, you guys.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Alex is not home. Oh, no. This is a colossal disaster.
Are you Alex's little sister? Want to see the car he won? Come check out the car he won. We're going to show his little sister. What's your name?
Why is he still talking in the bullhorn?
Not sure. Yeah,
what is it? I'm sorry? Juliana. Let's go take a look at the car, Juliana. Yeah. So, Alex isn't home, you guys.
All right. Well, let's say hi to Juliana. She's in the family. It's close enough. Let's say hi to her,
Juliana,
please.
Juliana, here. Let's walk down to the...
How old is Juliana?
Juliana, how old are you? Nine. Here, Juliana, this is Kevin and Bean on the radio, K-Rock LA. Here, you want to talk to them? Okay. Here you go.
Okay. Hey, Juliana?
Yes?
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
When a man in a suit comes to your front door and asks you to get in a car, don't do it. What are you thinking?
He said to look at the car. He didn't say to get in it.
That's okay, good.
Great point, Juliana.
All right, just make sure you don't get in the car with the bad man. So tell me about your brother Alex. Is he a big Green Day fan?
He's my dad.
He's your dad.
Oh, Alex, your dad. Okay, okay. Does he love
Greek? Yeah, he went to go drop off my sister.
Okay.
Oh, which would be his daughter.
Yes.
Got it. Okay. Okay.
Have you ever heard him talk about the band Green Day?
Yes, he likes it.
Oh, well, good. Well, because he has just won front row tickets to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl, a $500 Hot Topic gift card, that new car you're looking at, the 2017 Honda Civic LX. And Green Day is going to be coming to your house and performing in your garage.
Wow.
Same, Juliana.
I mean, you summed it right up. You spoke for everyone who entered this contest in Southern California. Wow, indeed. All right, hand the phone back to our friend Beer Mug, would you?
What's up, you guys?
I mean, wow, so, right?
Yeah.
Do we know when he'll be back?
Hey, Giuliani, do you know when your dad will be back? 5 minutes. Okay.
5 minutes. Okay.
All right. Well, Muggs, why don't you stick around so you can shake the man's hand and get some photos. But thank you for always doing excellent work on the Kevin DeBeach Show. And congratulations to Alex Rubio of Los Angeles. You are the grand prize winner. Thanks to Hot Topic and the K-Rock Summer Sticker. Bye, Muggs.
Bye, guys.
Tuesday mornings on the Kevin DeBeach Show, mean Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis with the Bachelor in Paradise report. Hit it, Steve.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice, it's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and Pete make a sacrifice. Come on and join in on the fun, because all these people are so dumb. So, Ralph and Pete, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill? The Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, so much drama last night. So
really?
Much drama.
All right, well, let's welcome your co-host for the segment back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, our good friend from the Petros & Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports. Hey, Pete, what's going on, brother?
What's popping with you guys? Yeah, we got a real loose group there in Mexico, don't we, Ralph?
Well, poor Christina, the Russian orphan, she just took it on the chin last night.
Oh, dear.
It was rough.
They can show that?
And then, of course, Dean is bouncing back and forth between D-Lo, the beautiful and stunning D-Lo, and Christina, the sullen and sad Russian orphan, just going back and forth between the two of them, breaking hearts left and right. And I think that the last straw was when he was making out with D-Lo in the pool right there in front of Christina at the end of last week's episode. And he went up to her.
You just can't do that to a Russian orphan.
You can't. You break her heart. She said that the orphanage was better than paradise last week.
That's the saddest thing that's ever been said in this entire franchise.
So here he sort of apologized to her, but I think Dean sees himself as the real victim in this situation.
I don't understand how I can have, like, the most amazing girl in the entire world in front of me, and yet here I am flirting with another girl in the pool. I understand it's a very f***ed up situation.
What can he do, though? There's no way.
I don't understand how you can be so great, but I can be over there flirting with another girl. I don't get it.
How can you control that? How can he make the outcome of that situation any different than it is?
And he had sex with her or something, the Russian girl,
yes,
the night before.
But there's nothing he can do about it. There's nothing he can do about it.
Yeah. It's not his fault.
It's not his
Russian
fault.
Russian orphanage sex.
How can he do that? It's just he can't help it. There's the greatest girl, and then there's the other girl. What can one guy do?
Poor Dean. I feel for him, don't you?
It's a real mystery. I don't know how it can happen like that.
And then Blake shows up last night,
Blake.
Blake is of a gaggle of losers. He is perhaps the biggest of all of them.
He's just really dumb.
He's a tool, and he's so unlikable. You best know him, for those who are not watching the show. He was the one who was battling with Waboom all the time last year in Rachel's season.
He's a trainer from Venice. And he just doesn't get it.
He's the worst. And none of the women want to go on a date with him. He's got a date card, and none of the women want to go out with him. In fact, Christina, the damaged Russian orphan, mm-hmm. who really just takes pity on everyone, wouldn't go out on a date with him.
Yikes.
Here's what she said about Blake.
I think I had low expectations for Blake, and he lived up to them.
I had low expectations for Blake, and he lived up to them.
Well, he wouldn't shut up about Waboom.
Yeah, it was all about his battle with Waboom. It's his claim to fame.
He was still trying to justify himself. It's like if DeMario came back and was just like, hey, I didn't rape that girl, and went on and on and on and on and on and on about it.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
That's all he had to offer, and none of the girls liked him. Then Ben Z, he's in a world of hurt, too. He's looking around, and he can't find a woman for himself.
More importantly, he misses Zeus. Zeus is really all he cares about. Zeus, for those who don't know, is his dog.
Aww.
How much was Ben Z talking about his dog this season, P?
He has never stopped talking about his dog. He leads with the dog. The dog is the middle of his story. The dog is the end of his story. Somebody told him it was endearing for a guy to have a dog, and he has multiplied it by 1,000.
Every conversation he had with a woman in Paradise started with, "So I got a new dog, and it's really means the world to me.
I hope that dog bites his balls when he gets home."
So Ben quits the show because it's time to go home to his dog. And in true Ben Z style, that's all he talked about.
I miss Zeus so much. I can't wait to go home and play with my dog and play fetch. I'm going to call my dad tonight and let him know that I'm coming home and start packing up the kennel because Zeus is coming home tomorrow night. I can't wait to see him. I get to see Zeus finally.
Yeah, Zeus.
Yeah, my dog.
Plot twist, there's no Zeus.
Ben, get laid, dude.
I love dogs more than most people, Ralph, but he's at Bachelor in Paradise with like 20 hot chicks.
Right?
The dog's going to be fine for a couple of days.
Jeez, just leave Zeus alone.
You can't bring a dog to Mexico? What happens?
No, you gotta quarantine him or something. It's awful.
Got to board it.
So Ben's gone. Daniel, by the way, is the savior for this season. Daniel the Canadian. He's the best.
Everyone loves him, right?
Yeah. The tickle monster?
No.
Oh. No, but
Jonathan.
I like the tickle monster, and the tickle monster tickles you while he's kissing you.
Yeah, that's very disturbing. Daniel the Canadian is the funny one of the group. He was talking to Scallop Fingers, who, as we know, is Kristen Scallop Fingers. He was talking to her about her deep love of scallops, and he can't quite get over it.
Kristen might have a fetish for scallies. She likes them to go, you know. She'll take some from restaurants. She must put them in her purse. You know, maybe she throws them in her pockets. She likes them cold. She likes them lukewarm. She'll eat them off a mat. How about that, you know? Sometimes even with a cat. True that.
No.
Daniel was very proud of himself that he put together a little Dr. Seuss riff on the scallops.
Can you imagine the guy shooting that? Like, this is totally making it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. The producer's just doing the fist pump like he just scored a goal in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Is this the weirdest collection of BIP contestants? But, I mean, with the Russian orphan and with the Zeus guy, with
They've
the scallops
just become
girl.
Freaks. They've all become freaks.
It is. And it's a freak show.
The guy that visited you guys, Robbie, is making out with that Amanda girl. And she goes on every season. She's got like 5 kids in Orange County that don't know their mom.
It's true. This is like her third trip to Mexico for the show. She leaves her kids behind.
Yeah, the first one, she was like, oh, I miss my kids. And then the second one, there was a little less of that. This one, they haven't even mentioned a kid.
You wouldn't know she has a kid. You know, we know a lot about Zeus. We don't know nothing about her kids in this season. Then there's the rose ceremony where the ladies are giving out the roses to the gentlemen this week. And Jasmine, insane, crazy Jasmine, she's taking quite a shine to the tickle monster, Jonathan. They were making out in the pool, and as P mentioned, she says, he tickles me while I kiss him.
Oh, God.
Which sounds just like should be illegal, right? There should be some charges brought.
Not okay.
Anyway, she gives him her rose, and she's got some plans for the tickle monster.
Jonathan, will you accept this rose?
Of course.
And hopefully I can tickle your pickle some more.
Tickle your pickle?
Did she say tickle your pickle?
She sure did. That's her plan.
Wow.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing, P. Nothing wrong with that. You know what was wrong, though? Christina, the Russian orphan, standing up there, and instead of just giving her rose to someone else because she doesn't like Dean anymore, she's got to make a speech. And I don't have any time for the speechifying at the rose ceremony.
Haven't you read Fyodor Dostoevsky when somebody gives a public speech in the village in Russia to the miserable Russians?
Yeah. I don't need a one-act Chekhov play from this broad, okay? If you want to go home, just tell your story walking, because nobody has time for you to get up in front of everyone and not give out your rose to a poor guy who would like to stay there, but then to have a big conversation about you're not being treated right. Nobody cares. You want to go home? Just go home.
I came to Paradise because I wanted to find someone that I wanted to spend my time with and see the potential after it. And I was getting that in the beginning. As time went on, I felt I was not getting that in return.
Boo! Sit down! I was yelling at my TV last night.
So she left. She left
Couldn't
and took her rose
give
with her.
The rose and then leave?
That's what I was saying, P. One of the guys who wants to be there, stay. If you're going to walk, give out your rose. But she took the rose with her, so no one got it.
That one guy did that for Jasmine just to keep her there.
Right. Matt came back and threw it to Jasmine just to do the right thing. So Blake and Fred, who showed up yesterday, also went home yesterday. So they didn't have much time in paradise at all. But Daniel really saved the show, I think, at the end there. Before Blake left, Blake was the idiot, the trainer from Venice who fought with Waboom that no one liked.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel cornered him and made his life a living hell and made him very uncomfortable.
Tickled him.
Nope. Made a lot.
Daniel doesn't tickle.
Oh,
Allie.
I'm
What's
sorry.
What's the matter with you?
Daniel sat him down and had a deep inquiry about his penis. He had heard talk about his penis, so he just sat Blake down for some penis talk. And Blake is not a guy who gets it when someone's putting them on.
Yeah.
So he was really uncomfortable with the following conversation. It's so special. I left it in its entirety. So Daniel will take us out with this clip from last night's Bachelor.
Someone said you have a really nice penis.
Hmm?
I mean, you can show me one. I don't care. I've seen in my time. I'm a guy. You're a guy. There's nothing to be ashamed of.
He didn't want to show me his beautiful penis.
Maybe he'll show me it tomorrow. Just a couple of bros hanging out. Nothing wrong with that.
How's your penis doing?
I mean, I can show you. Suppose you got a beautiful. I got a beautiful. I'm serious. It sounds crazy, but I mean, Canada. I mean, we do whatever we want.
No rules.
No rules. It's like prison. I got feelings in my panties right now. Want to take a little peeky-peeky? I don't mind. I'm not shy. But I am a grower. I'm not sure, you know?
At least he gives him the warning.
So he's just clowning him.
Yes, he's just making his life a living hell, which
That's
is
awesome.
Wildly entertaining. Daniel,
no rules in Canada.
It's like prison. That's what I always said about Canada, P. It's like prison. Tomorrow night. Tonight, we have another episode. Tonight, P. Very exciting. Wow, come on.
All right.
He's out.
P, after that episode, how can you not be excited to come back tonight?
I don't like the way Scallop Fingers is being treated. I think it's really mean.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get into that tomorrow then. Bachelor in Paradise on ABC Channel 7. Thanks, P. We'll look for you this afternoon on AM 570. Thanks, Ralph. This has been The Bit Report.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
Congratulations once again to Alex Rubio from Los Angeles. He is the grand prize winner of the Summer Sticker Campaign from Hot Topic. He won Green Day coming to his garage, and by the sounds of it from Beer Mug Out on the Street, Ralph, I don't know if you heard it. It sounds like they have a spacious garage. He said it looked like a venue.
Right.
So it's perfect planning there. A $500 Hot Topic gift card, the brand new car, a 2017 Honda Civic LX, plus he'll win front row tickets to Green Day at the Rose Bowl September 16th. So if you missed that exciting interview earlier this hour, Alex Rubio from Los Angeles is the Sticker Campaign winner. All right, it's Tuesday morning. Rob is here with another look at the show, BizBeat, on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Celebrities are nice.
They can be.
They do good things for good people.
Okay.
Point in fact, this hand-in-hand, a benefit for Hurricane Harvey relief. This is a telethon, one-hour telethon, that has been set to air on September 12th that will air across all major networks. So ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CMT as well will join in on the cable side, and they're all going to air this telethon together at the same time to raise money for recovery efforts in Houston after the widespread damage done by Harvey. The organizations that will be benefiting: United Way of Greater Houston, Habitat for Humanity, Save the Children, Feeding Texas, the Mayor's Fund for Hurricane Relief Harvey. Here are some of the celebrities who will be participating. Well, your hosts will be Beyonce and George Clooney, if that affects you at all.
Wow.
The interest
in seeing
those people.
Beyonce doesn't do a lot of stuff like this.
She's a Houston girl,
though.
Yeah,
she's a Texas girl.
She is, yeah.
Julia Roberts, Barbara Streisand also participating, Reese Witherspoon, Oprah Winfrey, Jamie Foxx, Tori Kelly, Carly Kloss, Rob Lowe, Matthew McConaughey, Dennis Quaid, Kelly Rowland, Adam Sandler, Ryan Seacrest, Michael Strahan, Blake Shelton.
Bobo.
Bobo didn't make it. He canceled.
Dweezil Zappa.
Dweezil also will not be participating.
Jesus.
So lots of good people doing something that's good for other good people, which is nice.
My only concern is that this event is happening on the 12th. They may have to be raising money for Hurricane Irma survivors at that point as well, the way that thing's looking.
Well, you are Mr. Silver Lining, so we got that going for us. At least you always put the positive spin on any good story. Can Sly Stallone, does he have the right just to ruin any Rocky-related product he wants to? Can he just do that because he's the creator?
Is it like God? Can God just slap us around because he created
wait
us?
Wait a minute. The one he did with Michael B. Jordan, I thought everybody loved that movie.
Oh, the one he didn't write? Creed that he didn't write?
Right.
That one that he didn't write.
Right.
I guess
he was in it, though, and people liked it,
he was in
right?
it, but he didn't write it and didn't direct it.
Correct, yes.
But he's working on the sequel. He's writing the sequel to Creed.
To Creed?
Oh.
Yes, he's writing the sequel to Creed.
I feel like maybe that's not his to write.
Oh, Allie, you'd be mistaken.
Oh.
He is working on the new script for Creed 2, and in Creed 2, Creed looks like we'll end up fighting the son of Ivan Drago, the Russian heavyweight who killed Apollo Creed in the ring back in the 1985 film Rocky IV.
Hmm.
So what we took, which was much like the actual Rocky franchise itself, a good first film
right.
with a lot of heart yeah. and meaning and drama and reality, and all of it, we're going to just get rid of all those things, and we're just going to creep towards the clown fest that was the rest of the Rocky films.
Well, you're a rude guy. I'm trying very hard, and you're being rude. That's bad manners.
I'm just saying, I don't think we need to see Creed versus Drago.
He's consistent.
In the sequel. It's just... What, then the son of Tommy Gunn's going to show up, and who else? Mr. T's son, will he show up?
Well, that'll be in Creed 4.
Oh, come on. Huh. Really? Now it's like a Godzilla movie. It's like Son of Kong versus Son of Rodan or something.
Can't the guys that did Creed be like, hey, we got this?
You would think, but
I mean, they did a great job with the first one. It was a big hit. Let
Creed
them keep
great.
Doing them.
No, now it's time. Now it's time for the madness.
Now he, though, at least
don't want to fight me. I'll fight you, little Creed. I want T to come back for the third one. Great.
He's not putting on the boxing gloves again, though, right? He's self-aware enough to know he can't fight.
He'll be
anymore.
The trainer for Creed. Okay. He'll be the Mickey to Creed's Rocky in the sequel as well. Just sounds like the first one was so sort of gritty and realistic and earthy, and was like, oh, this is getting back to the roots of the franchise, and now it seems like we're spinning out of control again.
Yeah.
Right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brad Wilk. How about him, right?
Yeah.
That guy can drum.
He can.
49 years old from Prophets of Rage and Rage Against the Machine. Bob Newhart's 88. Michael Keaton is 66. Rose McGowan's 44. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Still to come on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to give you a pair of three-day passes to the Ohana Festival at Doheny. This is a great lineup, by the way, with Social Distortion and Eddie Vedder and the Pixies, TV on the Radio, and so much more. Those tickets on the way on K-Rock. First, though, Allie.
Yeah.
You stumbled into a corner of the internet the other day that really had people engaged.
Yeah.
People were getting furious about some of the things that were being posted. What happened?
Fired up. Yeah. It's a guy named Chuck who goes by @IvyChat. And this was his tweet. Let's play movie confession. Name a movie everyone loves and you despise. I'll go first. Forrest Gump. And 6,800 responses later, and I mean, you scroll through this guy's timeline, he's fighting with people like, how dare you say that about this movie, that type of thing. But then it got me thinking, so I posted it a couple days ago as well, and the movie that I...
Now, before you say yours,
yeah,
let's debate Forrest Gump for a second. Because I've thought about Forrest Gump a lot. Mm-hmm. It's not a movie... I loved it when it came out, I think everybody did. But it seems now like a novelty movie to me.
I don't think we're talking about movies that hold up. I think we're just talking about first viewing. You loved it.
Like, he hated it first thing. He's not. It's not like 10 years later, he's not interested.
No, we're not talking about holding up.
So he walked out of that theater after seeing that amazing technological achievement and wasn't impressed. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, what did you come up with?
Well, mine was very easy for me. And it might have been because I was doing the news in Utah at the time, and I was so inundated with this movie because the producers were from BYU. The writers were living in Utah. The star of the movie was a Utahn, so it was just everywhere. But if we're honest with ourselves, you could admit that this movie blows. Napoleon freaking Dynamite.
How?
Not funny.
Dare you?
Not good.
It's a phenomenal and hilarious movie. It has so many great characters in it.
Does it?
Vote for Pedro. Tina, come get some ham. Oh, it's so good.
All right. See, that's the whole point of this. A movie that everybody loves and you despise.
As long as we understand that you're wrong in this case.
Incorrect,
though, right?
Sir. Incorrect.
So you say Napoleon Dynamite.
I
no
do.
Good,
I say
huh?
it loud and I say it proud.
Now, was it a case, as Kevin always says, he feels like your enjoyment of a movie. Remember Kevin used to be on the show, the Kevin Times?
I don't.
He says that your enjoyment of the movie can sometimes be colored by your expectations walking into the theater. Were you in a situation where everybody raved about how great it was and you were disappointed because of that?
No, I saw it it right away because it was such a strong Utah movie. I saw it before mm-hmm. people loved it.
All right, so you weren't hyped out of it. Okay.
I wasn't. I just didn't like it.
We're going to take your calls on this, by the way, so you understand the category. We're talking about movies that everyone else loves, but you never understood why. You don't get it. That's what we want from you at 1-800-520-1067. That's the same number if you want to call us. We'd love that. Or you can text us if you can't get to the phone. Sister Producer Christine, you're up.
Hey, guys. So maybe, actually, I might be a victim of that thing you were just talking about with Kevin about this like great expectation mm-hmm. that is placed on this movie that you go into thinking, wow, this is going to be the greatest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. There's literally one movie I've fallen asleep in my entire life.
Okay.
Avatar.
Wow.
I didn't like Avatar either.
You didn't like it either.
That was boring.
It was so boring. And that guy, Sam Worthington, is so hot. And I thought at least that would be enough. Mm-hmm. But
Why do you suppose... I never saw Avatar, by the way, so I can't comment on how I feel about it. But why do you suppose it became the number one box office hit of all time? Like, literally, it's made so much more movie than anything else ever.
Right. So much more movie and so much more money.
Was it just the technology of it that people just wanted to see how beautiful it looked because that's what James Cameron does? You think the story was weak? It just looked pretty?
I think so.
Yeah, it looked pretty. Yeah. And I think the story was something that I thought I would really mm-hmm. love. Like, that on paper looks like, wow, that's going to be the greatest movie of all time.
But blue boobies.
I guess. I don't know.
So you're not lined up for the four sequels that are coming for Avatar.
No. I don't think anyone is.
No.
I'm worried about that, too. All right. Before we get to some calls, again, 1-800-520-1067. Let me tell you mine and see if you guys disagree. This was a film from a couple of years ago that was on every single critic's list, not just in the top 10, but at the top five movies of the year. It was nominated for 6 Academy Awards. And it won at least one that I'm thinking of for Roseanne Arquette. And the movie I'm talking about, or Patricia Arquette, I guess it was. The movie I'm talking about is Richard Linklater's Boyhood. Boyhood was the one that was shot, remember, over the course of like 15 years. They would shoot a scene and then come back 3 years later and shoot another scene. And it was a movie about a little kid growing up from being young to being a young adult. Mm-hmm. And I get that there was a novelty factor involved because we've never seen a movie made like that. But it just was so boring to me. Like, nothing ever happened in my mind. Am I wrong about Boyhood?
I loved it so much.
What did I miss about Boyhood besides the fact that it was kind of neat to see this cute kid grow up?
I thought the acting was so good. And it's one of those movies that, okay, it's opposite of Avatar. There isn't a lot happening. But sometimes I think with those, if you like that kind of story and that kind of movie where it really plays on human emotions and
relationships. It wasn't like this was a kid who was having to struggle
like
because he was
story.
An orphan or something like that. It was just a family, and there was, you know, a little bit of conflict with a divorce and whatnot, but nothing really happened in it.
I think that's why it was so nice, though, is it didn't have to be explosions and, I don't know, a monster or clowns or anything.
But you know me. I'm not into any of that stuff. I like a good just drama. You know what I mean?
He loves human emotions.
That's true.
I'm also such a huge Richard Linklater fan, too. I mean, I loved Slacker, and I loved Dazed and Confused and the Sunrise movies and, you know, so many other School of Rock. And he's just done so many other movies. I just didn't get Boyhood, and it was it just drove me crazy that it was just adored so much. I couldn't figure it out.
All right. Yeah, it's fair. You're allowed not to love it. Yeah.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Let's take one right before the break just so we can go into the commercials feeling enraged. And let's make it Kim in Pasadena online, too. Kim, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. Everyone loved this movie but you. What was it?
Hello, Kim. I don't lose you with mine.
Hi. All right. Go ahead.
Princess Bride.
Get off my phone. What is wrong with you? Who hurt you, Kim?
Princess Bride.
I mean, what happened?
I tried to gnaw my arm off just to give myself something else to focus on. I gave that movie 2 tries. I did. The writing, the characters, they're so stupid.
And by stupid, you mean perfect, I think, right? I guess your phone's breaking up because it sounded like you said stupid.
Yeah, no sense is being made with Kim right now.
All right, Kim, we are going to let you back to your sad, lonely life. Thank you for calling. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on this topic on K-Rock. I don't think we can go on with this topic. I'm getting too upset, Allie.
I agree.
I'm getting too mad. Mark from La Puente writes in, and I actually text in the 626, Frozen was horrible from the 209. I love a good musical. I was so excited for La La Land. What the F? So boring.
Amen.
Don't know how it won so many awards.
Amen.
You're wrong. Sit down.
The All right. worst.
Let's take one call before we get into some Offspring and then more calls on this topic. The movie that everyone else loved and you hated. Let's bring up Andrew in Inglewood, please, line 8. Andrew, what say you?
I'm going to say it out loud. Star Wars: A New Hope. It is boring.
How dare you?
Andrew.
Andrew,
I
what
love
is
the franchise? The franchise is great, but that
Then how can you not like the first movie?
Maybe I'm too young. I'm 30. I saw it as an adult. It just doesn't hold up, but the first viewing, seeing it as an adult, it is outdated. Ugh.
It's outdated.
Why you fail?
You think?
I can't think of a single thing that you could do
Jar Jar
to improve
any day.
Oh my god. Andrew.
God, I said it.
Fire must cleanse us.
We'll take more calls coming up next on K-Rock. All right, we're going to get right back to your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067 on the movie that everyone else liked but you hated. Allie, you saw this on fire on the internet a few days ago.
Yeah.
And I guess the takeaway has to be that movies are subjective and it's okay if you don't like a movie. But it is weird. Like, Melissa hated Pulp Fiction, for instance. She Facebooked us. She hates Pulp. That's a movie that I don't know a single person who didn't walk out of thinking, I've just seen one of the greatest cinema achievements of all time.
Right.
Here's one from 310. Luigi says, The Big Lebowski. So boring.
Oh,
and
dear.
Then people told me to try watching it high, so I did that, and it still sucked.
No.
Chris on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. And I, again, fire must cleanse us. Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, come on. Right?
What from about Sweet Hannah, who texted, people think I'm crazy, but I don't like Step Brothers at all.
There's no excuse for not liking Step Brothers. But, I mean, I guess that's why these are in the category of movies that you're alone in disliking.
Yeah.
All right, let's squeeze in a few more, you guys. Let's take Christy Anaheim, line 2, up first this segment, 1-800-520-1067. Christy, don't come at me with what I think you're about to come at me with.
I'm with Christy.
What do you got?
I hate Titanic.
Thank you.
I was so screaming in the theater for it to be over. I just couldn't stand it.
So you were happy when you were delighted when the tanker hit the iceberg.
Sorry. Stuff in the water everywhere, and he wouldn't climb on anything, but he puts her up on something, and he sits her and drowns.
I mean, spoiler alert, Christy.
That does not make sense. There was stuff everywhere.
He
could have climbed on something, too.
I didn't see it.
It was driving me crazy.
Hold on a second, Christy. Allie, you didn't see Titanic, which until Avatar was the biggest box office hit of all time.
You did yourself a favor, Allie.
Didn't interest me.
This is my movie, too.
Yeah, Chip hated
really?
It, too.
Yeah, it's long, it's boring. The best part is when the ship is sinking and the guy falls and hits a propeller and starts spinning on the way down into the water.
Uh-huh.
Makes me laugh. That's the only good part of that movie.
Oh, no.
But let me ask you girls, Christy and Chip, don't you have hearts? What about, forget the shipwreck, what about the love story between Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, not for this one.
It was stupid. She had just barely met him, and she was supposed to be marrying the other guy, even though he was a jerk.
But he's Leonardo DiCaprio, and she fell instantly head over heels in love.
Billy Zane, come on.
All right. Look, the point of this wasn't for us to try to talk you out of it, but just to tell you that you're wrong. Thank you, Christy. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lawrence, Roland Heights, up next, line 1. All right, Lawrence, great movie. Everyone else says you say no. What is it?
Yeah, I think Goodfellas is way too overrated and bordering lousy. I'm sorry. It is just too artsy. There's no direction. It is all over.
There's all direction. It's the most directed movie ever. Martin Scorsese, every scene in that movie should be shown in a cinema film class.
See,
you know, that kind of film class,
so
the cinema ones.
I mean, it's too artsy. I mean, it opens up with, I've always wanted to be in the mob, and you're looking down on Red. It's like, oh, give me a break. And then let me guess, he wants to get out, too? Oh, yeah, that's exactly how, yeah. Oh, Casino.
All right, Lawrence.
Better. I love Casino.
Okay, you're a weirdo, but thank you for the call.
Now go
Appreciate
home
that.
And get your effing shine box.
There you go, right?
Huh?
Oh, my gosh, we got so many good ones here. Let's try Jonathan LaHabra, line 3, please. Jonathan? Seriously, a lot of people are going to hate you, but go ahead and say it.
Both Guardians of the Galaxy movies are terrible movies.
I mean, where are you coming from? Did you watch it with your eyes closed?
I should have. It was so. Those movies have the worst. The CGI is terrible in both of them. And in both movies, the solutions to their problems in the movies, they totally pull out their butt. Like, they told you in the first one, the whole movie, don't touch the rocks, you'll die. They touch the rocks at the end, they live, and they said, oh, it's because your dad, something, something at the end. That was their solution to the whole movie.
Jonathan, I just want to point out that you don't think Guardians of the Galaxy was realistic.
I mean, thank you for the call, sir.
Definition, it's...
Appreciate that. Let's squeeze in a couple more. Let's go to Tamara in Glendale. Now, this is an interesting one because this is a movie that a lot of people didn't love when it came out, but it has become a cult classic. Mm-hmm. Millions of people adore this movie. Now, let's find out why Tamara doesn't. Welcome to the show, my dear. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you. Good morning.
What's your film?
I hated, with a passion, Office Space, and I still do.
Oh. I can't not watch Office Space if it's on cable. It's one of my favorite movies ever.
I hate the bling. I hate that stupid restaurant. I hate...
You need some more flair. That would make you feel better if you had a little more flair on your vest.
Flair. I absolutely hate the flair. I hated everything. I hated the stapler guy.
How do you hate the stapler guy?
He has asthma.
He has no... He's not even on the payroll.
That's right.
He's
not on the payroll.
He still keeps coming to work every day. Don't touch his stapler. I'm sorry, Tamara. I don't know who hurt you, but I feel terrible for you. Thank you for the call. I wish we had more time for these, but I think we're going to put this up on Facebook. If we didn't get to yours, please go to the Kevin DeBede Facebook page and add yours to the list. I don't want to reopen the can of worms, but from Facebook... Anything by Wes Anderson, I hate.
Oh.
That guy churns out the same movie over and over again and is praised for it. He is the Michael Bay of hipsters, this listener says. And I'm not going to embarrass this listener by using his name because he will be unemployable and
What's
undateable.
His What's his name?
Actually, I don't know. They didn't put it up.
Okay.
Come on.
Yeah.
With the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
And Rushmore.
Moonrise Kingdom.
I mean, the Grand Budapest Hotel.
I know.
Wes Anderson.
I know.
Okay. We need to move on. Allie, you watch any tennis over the weekend? Labor Day weekend, of course, means the U.S. Open in Queens.
Didn't watch so much tennis.
All right. It's a big event. A lot of stars come out for it. This year, Alec Baldwin, he's there every year. Mike Tyson was in the crowd this year. Martha Stewart, Pharrell Williams. A lot of people
come out. A lot of stars.
Love to watch the tennis, but the crowd really was excited when there was a very rare public appearance by a legendary movie star that we don't see in public very often. Here's the announcer making note of it.
And John, the great Sean Connery, the greatest 007 in the house tonight. Big Andy Murray fan. I thought you might bring the impression, if that's what that was.
Yeah, it was the best I had.
Was that McEnroe doing a Sean Connery impression?
I think so. Yes, I think so. Victoria Beckham was there. A lot of stars, but people most excited to see Sean Connery because, as I mentioned, we don't see him in public very often. But we are lucky enough that from time to time he deems us worthy of an interview. So let's get him on the phone, shall we? Ladies and gentlemen, the great Sean Connery joining us back on the Kevin DeBede Show on K-Rock. How are you, Sean?
Hello, Donnie. Hello, Marie. How are you?
Well, we're just so tickled. We're so delighted to see
you. Oh, you're tickled, are you?
Come on. That kind of language isn't necessary, Sean. I'm just saying the public was so excited, and we were so excited watching at home to see you make a very rare public appearance at this U.S. Open event.
Yes, it was kind of exciting to be back there, and the public and the reaction of everyone sure was... Certainly was surprising, but it was pleasant.
What did you think when you started to hear the James Bond theme being played over the PA?
I thought, oh, I'm back on the I should be filming. And then I realized, no, those were films I did a long time ago.
Yes.
And everyone needs to get the over it. Oh,
well, I think it's love is all it is. It's respect. It's honor. It's just they're just happy to see you and acknowledge you.
Love is when you take it in.
Oh, Sean. Wow.
I mean, to some, yeah.
And then, really, that's real love.
Why would you say these horrible things?
I'm telling you what love is.
We're just trying to...
I can't help it if you don't appreciate love.
Well, I don't appreciate your kind of love, Sean. So listen, how has retirement been? You don't give interviews anymore, but you have...
I rarely talk to anyone. You're lucky I'm talking to you, quite frankly.
And we appreciate it very much. We're quite honored. But you retired from acting over 10 years ago, and I'm wondering, have you ever regretted that decision? Has there ever been a time where you thought, oh, man, it would be fun to get back in front of the camera?
I've been able to pursue other interests, which is
like,
nice.
Like, yeah, how do you spend your time?
Mostly your wife.
Oh, Sean. And that takes a great deal of your time, does it?
Oh, she's starved for she really needs it. And so it takes an enormous amount of time and energy on my part.
I wish I had
your wife off my Scottish.
I wish I hadn't asked that question at all.
I'm real glad you did.
Well, I'm happy for her on her sake. At least someone's taking care of her needs because apparently you can't.
Okay. Again, let's not
take a break to watch some tennis just to let my dry out.
All right. Let's not make this personal, Sean. So.
It's not personal. It's just what it is. You asked me a question and I'm answering it.
Well, what else have you been up to?
Mostly Bean's wife. Oh, I have to go. She's calling again.
All right. Bye-bye now. I wonder if that's one of the songs that Green Day is going to be doing when they're playing Alex Rubio of Los Angeles Garage in a few weeks.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Grand prize drawing this morning here on K-Rock. We've been asking you to go to the Hot Topic location near you and pick up the new K-Rock summer sticker, and you did, and you filled out the back, and Alex Rubio of Los Angeles is the lucky stiff who gets the private show from Green Day in his garage. He also gets front row tickets to see the band at the Rose Bowl September 16th. $500 Hot Topic gift card, and oh yes, a brand new car, a 2017 Honda Civic LX. So congratulations once again to Alex. Rob is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, sir?
And he didn't have to talk to Muggs. He made his kid talk to him.
It's very smart to be
perfect,
not at home when,
right?
Muggs showed up.
You get all the goodness and none of the badness. Your kids have to catch the bullet for you.
And I'm also, I'm also a little bit concerned that Muggs got in his brand new car, because now, is it really a new car?
You don't get that stuff.
You don't.
There's no detailer in the world.
No, so much Muggs taint.
Fix it. Oh,
right?
So much.
I had a
that car for sure.
I had a cat one time that peed in the back of my car, and we just had to get rid of the car. There's just nothing we could do about it.
That's what you get for having a cat, first of all.
How dare you?
That's the price you pay.
How dare you?
Worst animals. Taylor Swift's of the animal kingdom. Right?
Well, I love them both, then.
Oh, she's the worst, this Taylor Swift. Over the weekend, she inflicted another song on everyone off her new album,
Resentment. You mean
Resentment.
She released the new number one song in America? Is that what you mean?
The new album, Resentment?
Reputation.
Whatever. Should be called Resentment.
This is weird, Ralph, because you've been so open-minded about Taylor Swift in the past, but now all of a sudden it seems like you're coming down hard on her.
But this new music is craptastic. It's just, she sounds like everything that Ryan Seacrest plays all the time.
So is this your backhanded compliment of saying that you gave her a lot of credit for her previous songs kind of standing apart from the current production techniques that are so overused?
No, it was awful, but at least it was discernible. You could say, oh, well, that's a Taylor Swift song. Now I can change the station. You would recognize it immediately. Now the song is so homogenized, it has blended in so much of the pop landscape that it doesn't even stand out. It's not even good enough to be bad.
So you missed the Shake It Off Taylor Swift at its
time. Well, at least that was something. You listen to that and say, oh, well, that's a Taylor Swift song.
It just sounds like everyone.
Right. Now, okay. It could be Demi Lovato, or it could be Lemmy Devato, or either of those people.
Lemmy Devato.
Or the other one. Who's the other one?
Selena Gomez.
Mm-hmm. It's all the... Everyone who has ever been in a Disney movie or recorded a song could have made a song that sounds like this new one called Ready For It. That song is from the soundtrack of Descendants 2. I'm pretty sure that's where that's from.
Look, I'm not a huge fan of that squashed production sound either. I think there's a good song in there that may be fighting its way out.
Which is what you want in a song.
That's what you look for in music. I like music that really feels like it's struggling, straining. I like my music to take a big BM before it reaches the speakers.
You heard yourself say that, right?
I did. I'm agreeing with
Song, and they're struggling to get out.
I'm agreeing with Ralph that I don't like this new production direction that Taylor Swift is going. I don't mean I don't think she still writes and sings good songs. There's a good song in there. I think it's hampered a little bit by what they've dressed it up.
I do agree with Bean, where he said he doesn't like that she's trying this whole sexy thing. Yeah. And I think that's way off base, because it's not who she's been. It's not who she is.
Plus, she's just not sexy.
That's a big part of it. Probably right. The biggest part of it.
Part
yeah.
of that sort of sterile, sort of antiseptic quality about her. That sort of mannequin-esque.
I mean, she should be allowed to change her image, like all artists are.
Right.
But she has, for so long, so carefully cultivated this standoffish approach, and now it's kind of jarring to see her pretend to be human.
I think pretend is the key word there.
Yeah.
Well, as long as she's still bathing in real diamonds, that's all we all care about.
Very
right?
relatable.
I told you she's exactly. relatable to teenage girls, Ralph. Come on.
How about some good music? How about Green Day? How about some mother loving Green Day?
Okay.
They will be performing live today on Facebook.
Oh, are they doing this at Alex Rubio of Los Angeles Garage, does it say?
I don't believe they are. They right. will be performing at 4 p.m. Eastern. So what's that, 1 o'clock here, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 hours ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, 1 o'clock here. Band's raising money through AmeriCares to help people affected by Hurricane Harvey. So you can
very
donate
nice.
Now at Facebook.com/AmeriCares. And then you can see the band perform live today on Facebook at 1 p.m. So, Green Day fans, heads up.
They're amazing. They've been together over 30 years now, and they still are so great and still love to play so much.
Yeah.
And just seem to put everything into it, too, you know?
Sad news. Half of Steely Dan has passed away. Walter Becker died on Sunday. He was the co-founder, bass player, and guitarist for that band, along with Donald Fagen. So, sad news. They made a lot of good music together.
Were you a big fan, Ralph?
I was a big fan, yeah.
Me too.
And remain so. So, it was sad news for me. Some medical news in the music industry. Lil Wayne had yet another seizure. Well, maybe he should stop drinking so much codeine cough syrup and Jolly Ranchers.
Ooh.
Maybe that's part of the problem.
Can't help.
No, it can't. He was released from the hospital in Chicago yesterday after another seizure that could or could not have been scissor related.
I don't know enough about epilepsy to know what you're supposed to do and not do to decrease your chances of
I think
of
you're
seizures.
Not supposed to do codeine cough syrup and soda with Jolly Ranchers. I
but
think
it's
one
so
of the things they recommend.
Yummy.
Is it?
Remember when Bean was on the scissor that morning?
Yeah.
That was my favorite morning.
I love cough syrup. God, I love it.
Smash Mouth's frontman Steve Harwell was also in the hospital this week.
Don't you dare.
Yeah. He was in a hospital in Memphis. During the sound check for the band's concert, he stopped breathing.
Oh.
Well, I had trouble breathing at least. Had to hop into an Uber and made it to the emergency room. They said it's his cardiomyopathy, which he suffers from. He's been dealing with that for the past 2 years, and that was the problem. But they were back on the road, and he made made Friday's gig in Edwardsville, Illinois. So he's still an all-star out there, just still performing for them. And while we're talking about music, Chris Martin from Coldplay, he is doing a lot of covers lately. Remember, of course, famously, he did that cover of Crawling in honor of Chester Bennington. Now he did another cover in the BBC. They have got a thing on Radio 1 they call the Live Lounge, where usually they ask performers to do a cover song.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Martin chose Paul Simon's Graceland for his cover.
That's a surprising choice.
Apparently, it was an important song to him, he said, when he was a 10-year-old boy living in Zimbabwe.
What?
Did you know Chris?
No!
Chris Martin lived in
Africa. He was 10 years old once?
Yes. First of all, he was 10 years old. Second of all, he was living in Zimbabwe.
I had no idea that he lived in Africa at all.
And he said he was trying to get attention of a 10-year-old girl he had a crush on. And he thought he remembered this song playing while he was going through the emotional turmoil of being rejected by a 10-year-old girl.
Aww.
But look, he said, still, it's better than being married to Gwyneth Paltrow. So he said, it's all.
He didn't say that.
There's always a silver lining, even to the worst cloud.
Oh.
Here's a little Chris Martin covering Paul Simon's Graceland.
From poor boys and pilgrims and families, we are going to Graceland. My traveling companion is 9 years old, the child of my first marriage. Not reason to believe.
Well, the Paul Simon original is one of the greatest songs, and that's one of the best albums of all time. So I think it's a nice choice.
You're saying that like it's a fact.
It is a fact. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way. It won the Album of the Year Grammy that year. Mm-hmm. A lot of love for Graceland. Yeah. I think it holds up real well.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed Chris Martin's take on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't care for it.
That was okay. Not a big fan of that album. I think it's a little overrated.
That's our phone topic tomorrow.
Come on, Graceland.
Graceland is
overrated.
Phenomenal.
A little overrated.
Did that one have Diamonds on the Soles of Their
Shoes? It did.
Oh, yeah. I like that album.
It did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can call me Al.
Oh, great
that song.
That song
can burn in hell with you.
Why would you even say that?
Call Me Al is the worst novelty BS song ever.
What about the Julio and the Schoolyard?
That's not from that album. Oh. That's from when he was good.
Okay.
Talking about something.
Right.
That was different.
Apologies.
That's when he was good. Oh, this freaking song.
Remember the video, though?
Oh, my God. It made it even worse. Chevy Chase. Like, oh, look at me. I'm playing a trumpet. No, you're not. Dumb, and this song blows.
You're carrying around a lot of resentment from the Graceland period.
Song's
stuff,
awful.
Like Ralph. It's a great album.
It's awful, and it's bad. And
that
Empire
was Chevy
must
Chase.
Cleanse us. Chevy Chase was in that video. You don't remember?
Yeah, I thought it was someone else. That's
who did you think
it was
Allie? James Brolin?
Yeah.
What other misconceptions do you have? Who did you think it was? Fozzie Bear?
Oh, no. I thought it was someone else.
Say the words, Allie. Say your words.
He was in Caddyshack.
Chevy Chase was in Caddyshack.
No, the other guy from Caddyshack.
Bill Murray?
I thought it was Bill Murray.
And then you had a hard time coming up with the name Bill Murray?
I had a hard time. Remembered Caddyshack, and I was like, all right, then he's hitting the flowers and the...
Oh, my goodness.
How's
what?
Everyone?
Don't bogart that joint,
You're
my
right
friend.
About that, man.
Only Tuesday.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Bob Newhart's 88, Michael Keaton's 66, Rose McGowan's 44. A lot of double digits. Have you noticed?
What does that mean, do you think?
Nothing.
Okay.
And Brad Wilk of Rage Against the Machine is 49. See, he ruined our streak. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. Hey, one more time before the show ends, I want to congratulate Alex Rubio of Los Angeles. He is the Green Day Pleasure Garage Grand Prize winner. Earlier today, Beer Mug went to his home and awarded him the private show from Green Day in his garage, a brand new car, a 2017 Honda Civic LX, a $500 Hot Topic gift card, and front row seats to see Green Day at the Rose Bowl September 16th. So well done, Alex Rubio of Los Angeles. Rob is here with our final look at the showbiz beat now on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Rubio! Did we sing that to him when we get in the car?
I don't know. What that
I, mean,
is.
I guess we could.
No, we should have.
Is that a song?
Yeah. It's a Phil Collins song called Studio back in the
oh,
day.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Don't assure me. Like, you know what's going on? Bill.
He was in Caddyshack.
That Bill from Caddyshack.
Couldn't for the life of me think of Murray.
I know.
Were you here?
Let me give you something. Not you, Allie, but other people. People listen to the show. I've got tickets to the premiere of American Assassin.
Yay!
This is...
Kids love American Assassin. Well,
they love assassinating.
Is this the John Wilkes Booth story? What are we talking about here?
Dylan O'Brien and Michael Keaton. Oh, it looks so good.
Oh, Michael Keaton.
It looks like Bourne crossed with Bond. And then you add some Keaton in there. Oh, looks so good. Dylan O'Brien, of course, from Maze Runner. Also, great cast. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen at the Chinese Theater there in Hollywood on September 12th. Plus, you will qualify for a 4-pack of passes to the premiere to the TLC VIP suite and a chance to walk the red carpet.
Now we're talking.
So you're going regardless. But you also qualify for a VIP suite at the theater, and you'll be walking the red carpet just like the stars will.
That is fancy.
It's very fancy. So why don't you give us a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through with that number. We'll get a pair of passes to the premiere of American Assassin and qualify for the grand prize as well.
It's going to be very confusing for poor George Panaccio when he doesn't know what to say to you when you walk by.
Or Mugs.
Or George Pinocchio, too. He'll be confused.
That was a weird chuff.
He'll be confused by how people say his name.
Is that how he pronounces it?
Yes.
I mean, I've heard both.
Have you?
No, you have not.
Really? Have you? I don't know where you're listening. Because I can't imagine who would say that other than you.
Wrong.
George Pinocchio. We know who we're talking about, right?
That George Pinocchio.
I did.
Does good work.
I see a lot of things written that I don't hear spoken, yeah. So I guess.
Been on television forever.
Yeah. I know. I guess a lot, though. I'm sorry. Potato, potato.
It's all the scissorp you've been drinking.
Mm. Right?
You got a lot of syllable issues.
I do.
Oh, my Lord. All right, let's move on, shall we? What's going on in Texas? Let's not forget about this, folks. I know it's off the front page because our president is busy ruining 800,000 lives as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not forget, stuff's going on down in Texas, which is still bad news. A lot of people need your help. And if you've been looking for a chance to contribute some money towards a good cause, this might be it. It's called Hand in Hand. It's going to be a televised fundraising event, a benefit for Hurricane Harvey relief. And it's going to happen all across the television on ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and on cable. It's going to be on CMT, which I can only assume they did because of the Texas country music tie-in, right? Anyway, it's going to be a big event. George Clooney and Beyonce will be hosting, along with Julia Roberts, Barbara Streisand, Reese Witherspoon, Oprah Winfrey, Jamie Foxx, Tori Kelly, Carly Kloss, Rob Lowe, Matthew McConaughey, Dennis Quaid. Oh, Dennis should get his brother to show up. That would be entertaining. Oh,
that would be fantastic. Wow.
Is he allowed in America? Do we know?
I don't know where he is. I think he's living in a lean-to somewhere in the Alps.
God, yeah. Bless him.
Kelly Rowland, Adam Sandler, Ryan Seacrest, Michael Strahan, Blake Shelton, and more. So it's all happening on the 12th of September. Tune in and give some money. They're raising money for United Way of Greater Houston, Habitat for Humanity, Save the Children, Feeding Texas, and the Mayor's Fund for Hurricane Harvey Relief. So good causes all, and they'll help people who are going through a bad time down there in Texas because of the awful, awful weather.
Think they'll ever put Kanye West back on one of those telephones and give him a live nationwide microphone?
Maybe not. Steely Dan co-founder Walter Becker passed away on Sunday. That was sad news. 67 years old. No cause of death has been revealed yet. If you're not familiar with the work of Steely Dan, the band, it's your loss. They're great. Walter Becker, Donald Fagen were the duo at the core of that band. They play with a lot of different sidemen, but they really were the two men who made up Steely Dan. Great, great music.
I heard somebody over the weekend, more than one person, say that in some ways Steely Dan was the first college rock band in that they were... The kinds of lyrics that they wrote were so esoteric and intelligent and smart and different from almost anybody else. And I thought that was an interesting way to look at them.
They also added a lot of rock and jazz combinations that really wasn't being heard in popular music. Certainly not in the 70s and 80s when they came of age. I've always thought it interesting. They met in college. They were college bandmates at Bard College in the late 60s when they met. They played in a band initially together called Leather Canary, which is an awesome name for a band, by the way. What on drums for that band?
Ralph Garman?
No.
Oh.
Chevy Chase. Chevy Chase was their drummer.
Not Bill Murray.
Not Bill Murray okay. at all. Nope.
Really?
Yes.
Huh.
Wouldn't it have been crazy if Chevy Chase would have continued on as a musician and instead just would have been with Steely Dan for the rest of his life instead of going off into acting?
Yeah.
How about that? I had not heard that before. That's interesting.
He'd be less of an a-hole.
Would Community right? still be on?
Yeah, it's probably. I remember Tony Basil.
Yeah.
Or is it Basil?
I thought it was Basil.
I think it's Basil. Yeah. Tony Basil. She had a smash hit in 1982, where even if you don't know her name, you probably know this song.
Great song.
Mickey.
Holds up.
Classic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's very upset. And she's suing. Because she says she hasn't been paid enough for Mickey. She said Mickey's been used for decades by various companies without her permission. She said it was in South Park. It was on RuPaul's Drag Race. It was used in an ad campaign for Forever 21.
I mean, Disney she deserves to be paid for all of those.
But, I something's up. Something's up.
What do you mean?
You don't wake up in 2017 yeah. and say, hey, wait a minute. It just dawned on me. I had a hit song in 1982, and yeah. I really haven't seen any checks
Very
lately.
Very weird timing.
Something's up. And she says in the statement, which is weird, Basil was never consulted and would never consent the use of her voice, persona, image, or name coupled with Disney products. Why? What's the stink that Disney's got on them?
You should be so lucky. Mm. Here's where it gets really weird. She says she has found out about the misuse of her song. And since then, she has become withdrawn, despondent, and physically ill. She has experienced sleep deprivation, nightmares, and anxiety because she hasn't been compensated for the use of her song.
Wait, she's just found out. Where has she been?
I don't know.
She's been a choreographer, very popular, successful choreographer for lots of things in recent years. But you'd think that she would have a guy who is in track of her music royalties.
You think she would open her mailbox, too, once in a while and look for a check and say, hey, wait a minute.
Here's two fun Tony Bezel facts for you, Ralph.
Good.
Number one is she is from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Goddamn right she is.
Ladies and gentlemen, number two is, and this will surprise you, but I guess it shouldn't because that video was a long time ago, she is 73 years old.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Well, that's why she's physically ill and withdrawn and despondent. That's why she has anxiety and nightmares. She's just facing death. We all feel that way when we're looking at the Grim Reaper.
No.
That's why she's upset. Listen, if she's got money coming, fine, but I hate these lawsuits. Like, oh, I'm peeing blood because I didn't get paid enough for this thing I did 20 years ago. Stop it.
That can happen, though.
I think you're right, Ralph. I think your point is well taken that it detracts from what's legitimate about her complaint, which is she is owed money if somebody takes a song she wrote and puts it in a commercial. But don't pretend that
don't try to get extra cash because, now I'm constipated. Exactly. You didn't pay me for my song. Right?
Yeah.
Get me started. I got a lot of complaints today. You know that we're playing a commercial right now for a movie that looks awesome called Mother.
Okay.
Yes, Jennifer Lawrence, right.
Darren Aronofsky. Looks terrifying,
yeah.
Right?
Looks great, yeah.
But the commercial we're playing just makes me angry.
Why?
Because one of the lines in the commercial, a very serious trailer voice guy, says, "You'll never forget where you were when you first saw Mother." Yeah. A movie theater. That's why.
Yeah, probably.
That's why I'll never forget. Because you know why? Because someone says to me, hey, where were you when you saw Mother? And you go, oh, I can't really remember. Was it a supermarket?
Was I at Burning Man?
Was I in the park? No! You were in a movie theater. That's why you'll never forget where you were when you saw Mother.
That's an odd line.
It's dumb!
Okay. Sorry you had to hear that.
Makes me angry, Ellie.
Yeah.
Ralph, we had a listener who wrote a very impassioned series of emails to me last week about a commercial that we are playing either on the K-Rock stream or here on the air for Tecate. You know, the Tecate alcohol? Mm-hmm. Except apparently it is pronounced Tecate in the commercial repeatedly.
Tecate?
Like Tecate?
Yes.
Oh,
And that's not a thing.
That's probably on us. That's probably
not for
that's
sure.
Probably somebody here.
100%.
So, I'm guessing one guy. I know a guy.
Yeah, I know a guy, too.
It might be him. Yeah.
So we may need to track that down and correct that.
But the other one's a professionally produced, like, real-time radio spot for a movie.
Yeah.
You'll never forget where you were when you first saw Mother. But, like, the actual seat? Well, I know the row and the number of the seat. No, I'll just say I was in a movie theater, though. That's where
it's
I saw
very
it.
Very odd line.
It's dumb.
Seems like maybe they shouldn't have copyrighted. Should have work on that signed one. Off on that, yeah.
Javier Bardem is on fire. It's not a thing either. Come on, work harder, mother promo people. Give me a call. Let's hash some stuff out. Let's put some stuff up the flagpole, see who salutes. Let's toss some stuff around, see if it makes a salad.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Bob Newhart's 88 years old today. Michael Keaton, 66. And Rose McGowan, bitch, is 44 years old.
How dare you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show's beat.
A 5 p.m. commercial-free hour, you got it, thanks to a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Listener also requested last night that we look into how long it can be going on, that this promotion, and still be called random. If it's every single day at 5, at some point, is it now expected?
Yeah, now it's a regular act of helpfulness.
I think that may be worth a mention as well. Hey, tomorrow, you guys, don't judge today.
You'll never forget where you were when you heard tomorrow's Kevin and Bean show.
Tomorrow is going to be worth your time because, well, first of all, it's Wednesday, so it's the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Second of all, NFL season is so close. First game Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
We're going to get a preview of the season from a man you may know, Matt Money Smith, the voice of the L.A. Chargers, is going to be joining us on the program tomorrow. Excited about that. Wednesday means also the Bachelor in Paradise report with Ralph and Petros, since there's a new episode of BIP on ABC tonight. Comedian actor Dan Soder on the program today. You love him from Billions,
so
Ralph.
So good on Billions, yes.
Allie, you've seen his Netflix special and love him from that.
Yeah, there are a couple dealios in that that I was tinkling.
I think he's going to be.
That is my review. Oh,
there's tinkling dealios going on.
Well done.
I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm going to take tomorrow off.
And Allie's going to interview a Fozzie Bear, apparently. Her favorite Muppet, and maybe the reason she's not married today is because she's holding out hope. So, all of that tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.